You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
There's a lot of open minds, and that's what you want to call that need. It's a show, and you do get the opposite. It's not the opposite end of the spectrum. So you get people who seem really on the ball, and yet seem to acknowledge some of the senses they have. It's all for you to get it. Popping in, just having a little bit of a gym run. Thanks to have worked out that there's no dead air time, so I've been quiet. Still blends in, as long as you remember. Well, since then. Okay. Hey, Groover.
1, 2, 3, 4. Listen to the skinheads roar. We want our hair back.
I just thought I'd give it a little, like a introduction. So, like, it's just sort of go over what I said. I said, So I just want to have a chat about things that seem credible, things that aren't credible. And so I brought into play that a lot of the people who are in this so-called truth movement now were looking into UFOs and stuff like that. So they've sort of gone open-minded, but also there's a lot of people who are in the truth movement now who are, you know, on the logic side of things, if you know what I mean, who sort of seem to be closed-minded at the moment. You sort of, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. There seems to be a level of control. But it wasn't a case of getting into anything in particular. It was just a case of thinking about how things used to be examined, because you've been in the conspiracy world, probably in the computer world as well, probably 20 odd years, like a lot of people. So you've seen these things come and go, these trends. It'd be nice just to go over a few of the old tricks. What was one of the first conspiracy things that you really got you going, made you look?
Look, what, recently or the very first? Because
just because it's like, they're like cars, aren't they? They stand out. Some they have qualities of others, and some you go, you know.
Yeah.
I did like rods. Do you remember rods?
The rods. Oh, fucking hell, I remember them, man. But I've never gone back to look, but, you know, you'd wonder, are there CGI, or is it an actual phenomenon? Is it, could it even be, you know, like the way some of these orbs are just sort of like something with the chip that's, it's not fast enough to pick up the light and proper, and you know, all that kind of stuff, you know?
This is the thing when you see optics nowadays and the way they've changed and stuff like that. Obviously, you know, you've been invoking the B900 nowadays. If you're not trained in these matters, I mean, it does seem that, I mean, I remember years ago, sometimes you'd kick football and it'd be, you know, it'd be look like a white sausage, you know, when you're watching it on telly. Obviously things do change, but nevertheless, that rods, I used to love, it was like a double interest. There was always someone jumping into a cave or doing a backflip. So, you know, it was incorporated into something, wasn't it? You know, it was like, look in the background.
Some guy, I remember we were talking about this one time, Kenny did.
Spanish fellow, if I remember.
Or he was a Spanish type name. I can't freaking for the life of me remember it now. But he was the guy who was sort of forefront of this phenomena and photographing it and, you know, videotaping it. And I suppose it's like all the other stuff as well, you know, like, you know, get second generation night vision goggles and look up into the sky and all that.
Oh, and, I love them. I love that, over Mexico, seven flying this. Oh God, I was thinking that, not about buying any goggles, but literally I was thinking that was the way. And then like someone sort of explained how they work, and it's just like, oh right, so they probably wasn't, they could have just been things flying anyway that you wouldn't have been visible to the eye. You know what I mean?
You see how fucking expensive they are anyway, and you can't even get third generation ones. They're illegal, basically.
Yes, you know, military. They probably could show you something.
Yeah, so you probably get a whatever the feck is going on. We're probably more than likely man-made anyway, you know. So,
well, I reckon the man-made. I think the thing is nowadays trying to figure out what country made them.
Yeah.
I don't think Area 51 is anything they say, really, do you?
No, well, where did we get that from, you see? It's like all the other little stories and narratives.
Probably there was a guy years ago doing, was it infrared sort of photography, all that kind of stuff?
Yes, that's exactly what we're alluding to. Hey, yeah. Jerry.
How's it going, Jerry? I didn't notice you there, man. Sorry. I wasn't looking at the screen. How are you? How's it going?
Yeah, not bad. I should probably head to bed in a minute. It's like 12:30 or something.
You know, I ain't got 4 minutes. You did something 26 minutes past, so chill. No, the fella you're talking about, they were doing some wonderful videos, nevertheless. And a new angle. We're sort of trying to hit on things being credible and how far that your imagination will take you. What seems to get me is the fact that people think there's fucking satellites. You know, so it's like, oh no, that's fine. So if you see it on telly first, it's okay. But some of these things actually creep into the air, conspiracy world, and they get through no problem at all. Judy Wood, there's one.
Well, there's, I mean, obviously, if you go out on a nice starry night in the countryside, there are things like, they basically just like stars. You will see them move across the sky, flashing. It's just moving stars is what they look like. Mm. And obviously, most people just attribute to that, oh, that's a satellite.
Well, I actually got up one morning around about 6:30 there, November morning, 2014, walking up the street, something lit up the sky, and then exploded and lit up the street. Literally no sound, no nothing. And it was a meteorite over Yorkshire. Nevertheless, it was right in front of me, right in my eye line as I'm walking down the street, and it lit the entire street up. So there is stuff that goes on. And that was definitely close to where I was because the light that was from it, obviously, he said it was over Yorkshire, but I have no idea where it was.
I generally find if I go out in the countryside, so there's no like real light pollution around it. So if I go out and I just sit outside in the garden and all the lights are off and everything, give it a few minutes and I'm going to see something moving around up there.
Mm. Yeah.
Definitely. You can get it here on a good night, especially a cold winter.
I prefer sitting out in the summer in the nighttime and just, you know, take it all in. You invariably start seeing things moving. They just catch your eye and they glide across the sky. And it's not airplanes, you know, you can see them too.
Well, I've seen a few times. Just, normally you just see the, you know, they'll just go from one point, they'll just be moving in a straight line. I have seen things that do that and they'll either stop or sometimes they'll go back the other way. And I've seen that maybe 3 times ever. But mostly, yeah, you just see them just going in a straight line until you can't see them anymore. There's been a few times where I've seen them either stop or I've seen them move back or take a different direction. And that sort of gets you questioning a little bit.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dad. No, go on. No, all I was going to say is, once you've perfected flight in the air, that's the best way to travel anyway. I mean, statistically speaking, it's still the safest way to travel. So, you know, it's going to be used. You can't say it's not going to be used. You can't have whatever. I mean, when I said it, I'm going to stop saying it now. But the aristocrats that run the place would never, ever use roads like we do with things. Anyway, so anything that is far-fetched. Remember, we're in the far-fetched Twilight Zone version of psychology state. If anything like that was to be used, why not use the skies? So it's a lot easier, especially if you go off what people say they have perfected. So, yeah, why not? Doesn't need to be little green men or men from the plane or whatever they were trying
well, now for us. If you look at it, you know, the way they introduced flight, you know, the Wright brothers, and before that then they had the balloons. And I think the balloon, the whole concept of the balloon, it's just the basic principle, you know?
Yeah.
There's all these stories years before the Wright brothers of people doing similar things, but yeah.
Not as early as you'd think.
Foreign stories about, you know.
Yeah, literally though, not as early as you'd think. You think flight, everyone's always going, flight was one of the most important things, blah, blah, blah. No, it wasn't. There was lots of people who wasn't really interested in flight. And really, there wasn't, you know, I mean, you know, dotted through history, you can't say there was a, you know, you've got all these mathematicians or something, and then you end up with Da Vinci making the flying wings and stuff like that. No, there wasn't that much devoted in history to flight. It was revered. But there was, you know, you get to talk about the Chinese emperor who had rockets on his stuff. No, that's pretty much crap. That was made up. And it was made up by a fucking sailor or something. But there's lots of these things that, you know, that aren't real. But when you think about it, if we are to incorporate, and we're still out on a ledger, this is a waiver. If pretty much everything did start in 1649, that's not far off 300 years or 200 and whatever years for man to try and invent something to fly in. Because by the time you get to the stage of working with materials and you go, hang on, these are lighter than air, that's going to come into the engineering side of things. So it's eventually going to click. Otherwise, we would have been flying years ago if we were 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years old. Right. But then that brings us to the Inca lines. Yeah, the Nazca line. And they say they're visible. There's something fishy. There really is something fishy because there's things being promoted with flight, and yet if they have perfected it, it's the way that people are saying this anti-magnetic stuff. And yet that seems really far-fetched if you don't understand how simple it would be. You know what I mean? And it would explain all the lights in the sky, not the aliens. You know, it's a double-edged sword.
You remember, yeah, you see, when I was a young lad, there was these books out in the 70s, Chariots of the Gods, Gold of the Gods.
Oh, that's it, Sitchin,
isn't it? I remember him. Eric von Dyck.
And his very dodgy translations.
I'm sure they collaborated on a book anyway, so we're both right.
I'm just saying that, you know, at the time, you know, these things were mainstream books. You just buy them, like your bookshop and, you know, your normal stuff. But it was still like conspiratorial based, you know. He went into all this ancient, you know, it wasn't even so much so.
It was a good story though, wasn't it? It really was.
Like, you know, the Indians, the American Indians had these, you know, fucking like space helmets and all this kind of stuff. They said people coming from the stars and whatever, you know.
Yes.
And you see, all that stuff was put out there for some reason or other, when someone like me could get a hold of it and just read it, you know. And it adds to it, you know. You see, you can play on both ends. You see, they're pushing the whole concept of aliens and people already being here and coming from the fucking sky and, you know, interacting with
people. I take a more biblical view that basically they're constantly pushing the idea of everything coming from way, way above, because everything's really originating from this planet below us.
Yes, that's what I was coming to, you know. Like, it's the ideas they're putting out there. People are either, they're trying to convince people that stuff are, like you said there, you know, they're coming from space and whatever, you know. Or it's a ruse and a cover-up. The cover-up for the elite, what the machinations have been doing back then.
I was going to say, I've got books sitting on my bookshelf where they talk about, was it USOs, you know, like underwater UFO, basically, that kind of idea and stuff. You never hear any of this stuff sort of mentioned then nowadays. And there's one writer that made a really good book about this subject, William Michael Mott, is Caverns, Caves, and Underground Creatures, or I can't remember what the book's called, something like that. But basically, he was making the point that, like, the aliens or the fairies or all these things through history, they're always constantly saying they're from another world, they're another dimension, they're up in the sky, blah, blah, blah. Always negating the fact that all these
could be below us
from underground.
Yes, yes, it is funny, isn't it? And yet, what does Anunnaki mean? Anunnaki means the ant people done it from underground.
You didn't have a good night's sleep, and you woke up very fucking narky.
It's like a cross dresser. You just fucking
away. And that's the thing
nowadays.
I mean,
that's it.
The last kind of year or so, I've been following caving and like these people do spelunking, underground diving, and all this kind of stuff. And I've been looking.
I've done that. It's really scary. Really scary.
I've done caving. Potholing. It's claustrophobic. It's not. I mean, it was kind of fun a couple of times I did it, but I don't.
Do you know what amazed me?
You didn't see any rods flying by you when you were down there.
No. But do you know what? I did hear bats chirping.
There are massive underground cave systems that have never even been explored, and most of them are just shut off to the public nowadays.
Yeah.
They just say it's too dangerous.
Same over here in
the ones that most people like do as hobbies, they're all just kind of regulated and they don't go anywhere. All the ones that are like unexplored, they just shut them down repeatedly. I mean, you can go on these forums where like people are into this kind of thing as a hobby. Like the ones that actually want to go and explore where there's like unexplored stuff where they could like, you know, have fun or whatever, the government just come in and shut them down when they realize it goes on. If it's a tight, small little cavern system and it has an end,
I remember as far back in the 80s, right? On just on the mainstream news, like News at 10 on.
Just mute, Jen. Sorry, I'm just going to make a quick coffee.
TV or you know, one of them. It'd be literally, you know, potholers were rescued today because they got stuck and blah, 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 and it was too dangerous and flash flooding. And,
we'd have to review. I looked into all the history of all the UK ones and all the ones that have been unexplored and they've never found the ends of the caves, like where they're always constantly exploring. They've all been shut off. The only ones we have now are like, they're all ones that have been fully explored and they shut off all the stuff that goes deeper or whatever. And they just close that down and they leave the ones open to the public that are just kind of like, you know, it's just like a little tiny cave.
I was in one a few years back, man, in Wales, and it's literally, and what did they do? They stick giant fucking models of dinosaurs outside it. They put fucking hairy cavemen inside little, like, exhibitions.
Yeah, we have one, like, down here, like, the Cheddar Caves. There's the same sort of thing going on there. But there was one or two that they would never explore fully, and they shut them off because some people died down there. Bam, shut it off. And then all the ones that were just kind of surface level and just like, yeah, you could have a bit of fun crawling around and walking around in there. Stalactites, stalagmites, and some cool stuff to see. Left them open for the public and then just like, yeah, fuck all the other ones where it's just like people might actually find some cool stuff. Shut that down.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, but it's freaking really, oh, how they managed to incorporate dinosaurs into it as well. I'm sorry, man. I just can't think of the name of it at the moment. That's my short-term memory loss at the minute. But these two brothers apparently discovered them. It's in Wales, man, yeah. Right? And you know, they explored them so far and whatever. And it's like that. They're just sort of shut off after that. And then the rest of it, they put in lights and things and stick up a few plaques here and there and models of dinosaurs all around the outside of it. And
yeah, sort we have of the like, same thing near us. It's called Wookiee Cave. I think it's in the Cheddar, all the Cheddar Caves. All the actual kind of
set up, yeah.
Shut down.
Like
I said, I've been on a lot of these forums that do this sort of as a hobby. And in North America, there's a lot of these sort of cave systems which aren't as regulated. The same thing seems to happen. Either people go down to a certain degree or some minor sort of thing happens where somebody gets injured and they're just like, oh yeah, public safety. And they just shut off the whole cave system as soon as it's been discovered. This seems, from what I can tell, this seems to be like a worldwide phenomenon where basically if it's low level and like they can make a tourist attraction out of it, they keep it open. If it's unexplored and people have either, they've got some sort of justification to sort of say, oh, it's a danger to the public. They just shut the whole thing down.
Yeah. Well, that's what they brought in health and safety for, really. You know, you can just do
And at the same time,
a multitude of things under that.
Everyone's just like, oh, yeah, they're coming from the Palladians. They're all up there, and yeah.
What I was going to add there is, I mean, even the people that supposedly discovered where the meteorite hit, you know, where they destroyed all the dinosaurs, and that was like a father and son venture, and somewhere off the coast of Mexico or something like that. And when you look into it, that's bollocks. Most of the stuff that's put forwards now to us, bollocks, and you need to
start on
the limb.
Yeah. Excuse me. Is it Arizona or New Mexico?
But there's one that's just underwater, just in Mexico as well. You know, just literally on the coast. It could even be near Cuba, I'm unsure. But when you look into it, it's like, no, it's not. And half these things are the same as, like, it's like when you see these craters on the moon, they could quite easily be sun balls if the moon was fucking real. But it's a light in the sky, so let's not try and analyse it. Do you know what I mean? There's many a thing on this planet now which, well, basically, by them saying we're going to go to the moon and having a president shot in the head, they give us a carrot, the biggest carrot going to aim at. Yeah. And everyone got behind it.
Well, man, you know, the other thing of that whole fiasco and stage play known as the Kennedy assassination, right?
I'll tell you what, it was perfect though, wasn't it? It was perfect though.
The Kennedy family was known as the Camelot. Now, why the hell would they invoke
King Arthur?
King Arthur and the throne and everything that goes along with that. You know, everything that it evokes, the imagery and everything, you know, the Camelot. And then you get in, you know, the internet days come along and conspiracies, and you have the Project Camelot.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, we do.
And, like, fucking hell, I've listened to enough stuff over the years from them, you know, like Kerry Cassidy and, so.
Bill forgot his name.
Bill, yeah. And then he went on and, you know, they had their split up and they had, he had his Project Avalon, you know, and funny, that's another,
Yes.
You know, raised my eyebrows anyway. But, you know, but at this stage, we know these sort of outlets for what they are, you know, we could kind of talk about them, like, because we're familiar with it, you know, but,
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, these still, some people now, like we did with Hoaxbusters and, fakeologists, when you experience some, you know, bit of truth or something that actually rings a bell, you will go back and check the back catalog. I'm just trying to think how many people now who are going to come across that are going to check the back catalog and think, same with Red Ice Radio. If you check the back catalog of Red Ice Radio, it actually seems far-fetched, but it was always treated with a modicum of, decency. Yeah, it was only started seeming, irrational to people like you and me when they hit the white supremacist thing. Do you think that was all part of this UFO incorporation?
See, what I think is going on there, and, like, I subscribed a few years there, and, so I've got a lot of the audios and the different interviews and different concepts, ideas.
They didn't do any of that cool stuff like they used to do.
No, exactly, Jerry Cameron. Everything was treated with a bit more respect. Even through Red Ice Radio, Henrik was always the perfect gentleman to people, and he'd always do his research as well.
Yeah. And, but you see, it seems to be, do you know the way, like, there's different elements at play here? As we speak, there's different elements. Like, you've got these fucking far out, fake.
Yeah, and also the floating people who float around from different sort of genres as well.
All these different, the flat earth thing is out there. There's, the white nationalists and, you know, not even white nationalists per se, but the whole idea of the, you know, people are getting freaked out now because they are moving things around on the chessboard and they are destroying fucking countries, man. Well, they're doing their damnedest, you know, between the economic situations and all.
Well, the way I say they destroy it to the point that it doesn't destroy anything that they're going to take from the country. You know, just like in Iraq, supposedly everything got bombed, but they didn't bomb the oil wells. They're not going to destroy the reason they're going in there, but they will destroy any.
I'm saying the narrative. Then you have to have these various outposts for this, and that's like Red Ice has gone from sort of like alien sort of weird stuff going on, and you know the whole. Yeah. To sort of more of
it's almost like they were letting 9-1-1 sink in for a few years. Do you know what I mean? It was almost like they went right. We'll give 9-1-1 about 8 years to sink in.
Yeah, but they're still reacting and reinforcing the fucking mainstream news. You know, because all of that groupings, you know, all the sort of the so-called alternative right and all them. They're still plugged into the matrix in the sense that they fucking believe everything that comes out of the media. So they're reacting to the media shit right that's going on. And in turn, it's being recreated into reality. You know, fucking, oh man, it's just, I don't know, I'm just maybe a bit too,
No, you're not open-minded enough. It's the Palladians.
Well, it's always like, I mean, you guys must have had those sort of things to catch flies where you put like, the little papers down to catch the flies as you can. Fly paper. It's almost like the alternative sort of media doing the sort of same thing. They all have their little brand of fly paper and catch as many flies as they can.
Yeah.
Stick them into their own little topics.
And keep them in a holding pattern.
Yeah.
Oh, be it a sticky one.
We do enjoy sort of finding things and then passing them on to our fellow people that we talk to. So, you know, it's almost like like you say, fly there. It's almost like fishing. Fly fishing. Let's see what they bite. let's see what attracts. And the most weirdest thing is attracts.
Hey man, you know, we're back to
we're just the slightly cleverer fish that aren't taking the bait.
Yeah, we're sort of looking up the rod and then seeing if it's got nice eyes or not.
Remember, we were talking about the Busby Babes thing and the whole thing of that, and your man ends up, you know, being the manager of the Irish football team, which was so ironic.
Yes.
Right. And what's his favourite hobby when he's not fucking managing football?
No, beekeeping.
Fly fishing.
Oh, Jesus. Sorry, man, I had a choice at two, man.
That fucking guy going around looking for a copy of his book. But yeah, he used to do ads. Yeah, but the other dude used to do ads, right? The football guy. What the hell is his name again? Put him under pressure.
Husband.
No, the brother.
Jack Charlton.
Jack Charlton was the brother. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Right, guys, it's 1 in the morning. I'm going to go to bed.
Take care, Jack.
Kept you up longer than you were supposed to stay up tonight.
Well, it's all right. I mean, tomorrow's Saturday, and it's always an easy day for us at work tomorrow. So
you just have the lovely sound of wah.
Well, I'll be finished by midday, so it's not like I'll have a strenuous day at work. So,
right, well, make sure you get some sleep, then, mate. Take care.
Yeah, I will do.
You still deliver on Saturdays in England. That's cool.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. For now.
Yeah, you only do that the week before Christmas over here.
do you know what's funny? I let on to four different postmen on the way home.
It's not all backed up by the government when I first started. It used to be an absolute joke when I first started. Like, we'd finish 2 or 3 hours before a shift. Then if there was extra stuff to do, the manager would be like, do you want a couple hours docket, a couple hours overtime to do a bit extra? So you'd be going home early and getting paid overtime. And this was happening, I can imagine, all across the country, which is why they were losing so much money.
That
was a private company, so they're like actually trying to get the money's worth out of us.
The private company that sort of subbed out to the Post, the Royal Mail or whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, they sold the company, didn't they? Like some really undervalued.
I remember they privatized it back in what was in the 90s, and they changed the name as well, which was so ridiculous. And then they spent millions rechanging it back to the Royal Mail again.
Yeah. It's all scams all the way. Like recently, when they made it a public company, they sold the business for less than just our assets in buildings were worth, let alone the actual company or anything. And then all the people that bought in. They made an absolute killing in the first, like, couple of months, sold off all their shares. It was ridiculous. But nowadays, we're basically just sort of slaveholders to, you know, shareholders and just making cutbacks. And they're just sort of making us actually work for our money. It used to be an absolute joke when I first started. It was an old boys' club. That's what it basically was when I first started. Still is, to some degree.
Yeah, pretty much like everywhere else with gangs. Gangs everywhere. All it is the people are dying off now because after gangs are fucking EGI.
when I first joined, I swear, like 90% of my office, they're all ex-army, and you know, like it's all just people that have just sort of just got a cushy job, basically, and they're just dossing around doing fuck all and getting paid overtime for doing nothing. And then suddenly, you know, like managers are sort of coming down on this now, like shit, you guys are actually going to have to do some fucking work.
Yeah. Oh, well, at least you've a half day tomorrow, so you won't have to do too much.
I'll just listen to some podcasts, talk to my regulars, have a little walk in the sunshine, if it's sunny, hopefully.
Yeah, you're going to have a nice day tomorrow this day, mate. You're down south, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be good.
It's going to be nice, mate. So have you ever been to that Bannerfundall Bay?
It's rain and sunshine in between, that's what it's been like recently.
Jenny, whereabouts are you? Whereabouts are you, mate? Are you anywhere near Bannerfundall?
I'm down in Dorset.
That's what I mean. Have you ever been up there? Because I've been to a number of places around where you are. Barafundal Bay, it's literally a moon-shaped beach and dolphins and whales and otters popping. It's one of the best places to ever go. And do you know what? You're only about 2.5 hours drive from there.
You know, I've been most of the places along the coast near me. I mean, like...
Straight to Bristol and then on the ferry you can get across. Honestly, it's gorgeous.
Oh, you're talking up.
Sorry for interrupting, lads. I'll be right back. I have to go to the Jacks, but I'll say goodnight to you, Jerry, if you're not here.
Yeah,
when
I have to go. It's like 1 in the morning now. So.
Yeah, Danny, hang around. I'll be back as quick as I can.
Take your time. Jerry, you have a good night's sleep, my mate, and speak to you again soon.
Yeah, take it easy, guys. Nice chat. All right, bye.
Just roaching, Del. One sec.
Is anybody talking?
Oh, want the truth.
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm cool, man. I've not introduced myself. I'm Napoleon, so I bumped into you a couple of times overnight. But I seem to, we seem to be on different shifts.
Yeah, so, what you guys weren't talking about anything? Or you guys?
No. Literally, Jerry Canman was in. He's just left. Del's just nipped off. He's going to be back in a sec. And we're talking about, both the things that were taken half seriously in the conspiracy world, say, 10 years ago. So, aliens, demons, the fact that people think planes were on 911, JFK being assassinated, the things that we now know are bollocks, we're sort of addressing, going back through them now, using a bit of deduction and the things that made us, you know, look into. So what was it that actually, were you looking into the conspiracy world?
I don't, you know, that's a really good question. I mean, I think about it, and you know, I think I had a grandfather that always kind of really questioned everything. He was just very, my entire dad's side of the family, they've always been very anti the media. They always said to me ever since I was a little kid that the media lied, but they never, I mean, they're not as, not like
true. I think in them days as well, if you're going back, you don't need to go that far. It was just because of the being outspoken saying, you know, the media lies. I think that's still a good message that you can, it should be portrayed, and unfortunately it's been lost now. It's been lost. I've not heard anyone say that for 20 years.
And my grandparents spent a lot of time in Europe, like just a lot of time in Europe. And my grandfather used to always, you know, say to me when I was a kid too, because, you know, I did a lot of sports and my parents both worked all the time. So my grandfather was mostly retired. So he would often drive me like back and forth to places. So him and I would just have, even since I was like a little kid in like middle school, and even I think about it, even in fifth and sixth grade, he'd always like question me about like, you know, just to know about, you know, politics. And he, you know, always kind of, you know, he just always kind of was like, was into politics,
he was giving you the tools that you need. Whether or not the valid, nevertheless, you still need certain tools. I don't even think that's being passed on nowadays. No, I think,
it's interesting.
Get sound bites that people react to.
Yeah, you know, so the thing is, like, my grandfather used to always be, like, about religion specifically, he was very, very anti-religion. He used to always be like, oh, they just want to control you. And the funny thing is my dad didn't raise his kids. He has got, my dad is one of three boys, and none of them were raised religious at all. And so, but they all went to, they went to a Jewish private school, in Chicago, but just because it was a good school, and they did the same for me. They sent me to a private Catholic school, and you know, even though we weren't religious at all, so it's like we were exposed to it, but we like always, I guess, because of my grandfather or whatever, were always like led to believe that, you know, these people are just being controlled by that religion, you know. So I think we always kind of had this like.
I think a lot of the religious schools also had the best. I don't mean to sound bad. The best indoctrination, but you know, the best education. So yeah, I can understand that there. I can understand a lot of people doing it. I went to a boys' school, which was very multicultural, but nevertheless, it was very eye-opening, you know, being exposed to, well, it's basically it's black and white on a daily basis, religion and non-religion. You know, teachings never correspond with what basis of these schools, you know, the motto is religion, God, whatever it may be. Teachings are always scientific, so you're hitting well, you're in a paradox as walk in a building as well. So there's a lot of things to be said about religion making people conform, like you say. But also, when you find out what they're teaching in there, it's actually the opposite of religion.
I know, it's kind of, well, I mean, I guess at the core, some of them, I mean, if you look at the core of stuff, I'm sure it's you know, it's kind of basically how you should treat other human beings, you know, like you shouldn't. You basically shouldn't be lying and stealing and all that stuff. But obviously, we know the people that are organized, like, you know, at least from what we can see, a lot of people that run the show are a bunch of hypocrites themselves. So it's,
yeah. I don't know. Always puts me in line. Do as I say, don't do as I do. It's pretty much that's the way, that's what they tell us. Excuse me for a second. Sorry about that. Dell, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I'm just a bit distracted at the minute.
No, sorry. I just wanted to ask you, was your school religious itself? Seems, obviously, you're all been out, and, you know, everything's pretty much religious over there.
Right.
I'm so sorry. I want to apologize too if you are religious. Like, I don't want to offend somebody either because that's your belief, and I feel like everyone's allowed to.
I don't think you offended anyone there. Okay. I think you're quite eloquent. I don't think anyone's offended there. You know, these are just words, but we didn't invent the words. Don't worry about it.
You mean the spelling?
Well, maybe some of them things you know could have been invented. No, all I'm saying there is because obviously, I mean, I'm 40. You want to choose for you sound like you're in your mid 20s. Dell's approximately about 10 years older than me. So we've got a good little generation gap there. So, you know, we can sort of see that the religious side of school actually promotes, what's the word? I've got, anyway, it promotes being, you know, on time, everything to do, you know, this punishment for, it's a set of rules. And if you are religious, you take them from school into the real world. And then by proxy, you use them on a Sunday and you fall into your life, so it's a set of rules that you do. It's like common sense, is it? You know, it's common sense is like a list of prejudices that you've worked out by the time you're 18. Then that's all it is. It's nothing else.
You know, I sometimes think if you can follow me through this whole thing, but I sometimes think like you know, religion was a device or you know something that they used to control the masses back in the day before. They kind of had the TV where the TV became kind of like the new religion. And then I think they realized that religion actually was actually pretty good for humanity too in some ways because people could come together as a group. And I think there's power when, you know, we all come together as human beings. And I think now maybe there is a push to be, you know, anti-religious or anti any organized religion maybe more now because maybe they want people to not be as organized together maybe. I don't know if that's...
Maybe it's just a case of like in the old days, we didn't mind seeing strings on the you know, the monsters in the movies. But nowadays, if you've seen strings on the monster in the movie, you go, no, I can see the strings. Maybe you don't want to see the control mechanism. Maybe it's not a case of you don't mind being part of it. Maybe if you're convinced that, you know, this is free will and it's everybody getting along, then you're going to be a lot more happy. Hence, brush the wires.
See, they have everyone looking at Plato's caveman. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm, Del. And that was just fucking shadows on a wall, man. We get shadows on a wall.
It is the same thing. Here we are, the Church of
Alex. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Amen.
Stranger.
Yeah, say three Hail Marys and look for some rods.
It's true though. We, I tell you what, we've got a damn sight more better than Plato's cave, haven't we?
Watching it, if it wasn't that interesting, and I'm saying that in a sort of retrospective way, from when we were, you know, watching, you know, we had a laugh there, then, you know, chat box at times, you know, slagging off the American programs, you know, the British ones were better, and like I'm a feckin' Irishman, you know, that spent some formative years in America, so I should be anti-British or something, you know, but I see the whole bigger picture of everything, you know, and at the end of the day, we're all just feckin' real people, and we've got this whole concept foisted on us, you know, this whole, all this bullshit.
Oh, and God, it's good. Well, what about the war films? I mean, we don't really touch on the war films, do we? The amount of war films that come out after the war.
They were all, literally, and made, the ones that were made during the war.
Mm.
A lot of movies, man, if you see the old black and white ones.
Like, oh, God, I used to love them. I mean, even in 56, I mean, I could watch any war film up until about 56, and then it was pick and choose, and they'd have to pick, you know, ones that were, you know, a bit more choice. But nevertheless, the ones that were, they had thought put into them, it was the rhetoric. I mean, after spy novels and things that were written before the war, you could see they were written about what was going to happen during the war.
Yeah, they were like as if we're laying out this narrative.
Yeah. And guess what's going to happen in 10 years' time? And you're going, what? Yeah.
It's interesting you mentioned the war thing because, you know, I used to love World War II history. I had a teacher when I was in eighth grade that was a historian. And so he was really big into World War II history. So I think I always was like really I don't know what about it. I just found that World War II was really interesting to me. And then basically what they teach you a lot in World War II history is about propaganda and how the Nazis, you know, controlled the population and all that. I mean, not like the United States and the UK and all the other ones weren't doing the same thing, or they don't do it today. It's just interesting that, you know, everyone is taught about propaganda, taught how this all happens. And I also had a class where we had to read the book 1984. And then it's like, we're always like kind of, you know, educated that, you know, governments lie to you. There's propaganda. They do these things, you know, and.
They don't have, it's not like YouTube where they have like algorithms just waiting for a fucking song so they can, they don't have, the actual manpower for starters to be even, can you imagine trying to have to monitor even audio chats coming out of fake audio?
Adele, I'm not joking. You'd need Adele,
I'm right there with you,
to monitor me.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I guess the point of the thing I wanted to finish with what I was saying earlier too is like, I just don't believe that they're doing anything. I mean, they don't need to do anything. They just have to believe. They just want you to believe
exactly
that they are doing it. So then, like Del said, that you're going to police yourself and you're going to police others. You know, because
no, there's bulletin boards out there for you to report people. So, oh, look what I do, but they look what I do. Oh my God, look at this. This is offensive.
Yes. And you can take it to one, a sort of in a virtual level, if you're looking at it. Just say, take any fucking Google Hangout and give someone a bloody wrench. And what a wrench is basically moderation. You know, you can just ban somebody if you take the Figari. Been watching the goings on of just that. Just give someone a wrench and see really, what goes on between self-policing and then making everyone else fucking toe your line.
It is fascinating, though.
Isn't it fascinating, man? Yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you all
it's
that.
Genius. Because it's genius. Think about it. That's all they have to do. And then it's just genius because people, it's
amazing.
It's amazing how much we keep ourselves down sometimes too. You know, we keep ourselves in check and, we keep ourselves less free than we need to be, you know?
Just people that find ourselves here like us, right? We're just going through our lives and doing things. I don't think any of us wake up in the morning going, oh, what are we going to do today? Are we going to, you know, what harm can we cause to people today? Or what can we do today?
No, but remember, if you wake up, I mean, some days you can wake up being the enemy.
Yeah, so well,
are you vegan? You vegan though? Whoa, no. Today you could be the enemy.
No,
but I guess I have a mentality too that they don't do anything to anyone that questions it. They don't do anything. They just silence them with the media. They don't have to physically do anything to anybody. You know,
it's like whistleblowers. Who do you whistleblow to? You whistleblow to the media. The media is already a part of the fucking apparatchi or the fucking machine. So you're not any fucking whistleblower you're seeing. You're seeing a fucking machine approved whistleblower. So therefore, there's more information.
That's why they're working downwards, aren't they? What they're doing is now you're being pulled up by your superior. They're making you being pulled up by your subconscious. What, you eat meat? Oh my God, you don't fit in with us. You eat meat. So there you go, bomb them, there's actually something inside you. What, you don't think this way? That's not the, you know, that's not a whistleblower. That's basically the rest of your fucking, your personality, everything about it. But it's the control. It's like, do this. Now, on a small scale, you can say, well, that's always been happening. But no, you turn on the internet now and it's like, oh yeah, the vegan's club. Or, you know, the organic vegan's club. Or, the organic vegan flat earth club. Or the organic vegan infinite flame society. And I'm not even joking. These are the places it's gonna go to.
Well, you see, that's steered like the next evolution. Well, I don't like using that word, but the development of this whole process.
So why don't you like to use the word evolution, I guess? Is there something
because
that...
it implies fucking monkeys turning into men and that didn't happen. That we'll screw a monkey and see what happens. The monkey wouldn't be happy.
I mean, if you look at it anyways, human beings themselves are already mixed species. Like, I mean, you know,
How is it? No, hang on. Stop now for a minute. species.
Well, I didn't get to finish what I was saying. So
it's
I mean,
a different word. Yeah,
I haven't said anything yet. So I mean, what I was going to finish saying is like you know myself. I'm made of Neanderthal, and I'm also made of what modern human. But I'm already just when they tell me that I'm already somebody that is of a mixed species. Am I not? Because if they're trying to tell me that I have a certain percent of my DNA is from another species.
No, man, there's species and then there's genus.
I mean, I don't know if we come... Well, here's the thing. Here's the other thing, too. Well, what is...
There's no such thing as cavemen or Neanderthal, man, no. Or any of these things. What it was just a different type of white man. That's the only bones they found. And they
I don't subscribe to that.
In other places they find... But remember, they can't carbon date. DNA testing is literally smoke and mirrors.
Well, let's talk about blood types. Let's talk about blood types then. Like,
none of that exists.
I'm coughing my guts up. Sorry, Russ.
Yeah, but I'd just like to address the thing when you started, right? You said you weren't finished, and I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No, I'm sorry too.
We're sort of flying off into a different thing. I still want to, you know, pull you back on what you said there about species. You said you're already two different species.
Well, now, I mean, you are too.
The word itself, right? We'll play with the words, right? We'll use the words, what they kind of say they mean and whatever. But just tell me, clarify what you mean. You're from two different species.
I'm sorry, Dad. I was also, I'm switching between windows.
Right.
So different species, like, well, meaning that, you know, we're made of obviously modern human, and Neanderthal is supposed to be an entire different species of Homo sapiens.
So one species morphs into another species, and you actually are fine with sort of believing that,
their DNAs have been combined somehow. So here's the thing, too. I mean, I don't know what your blood type is.
DNA's not real, you know.
The forum here that like DNA is even fucking called into question. We can't just bandy about these terms. That's what I'm trying to fucking.
Well, what I'm trying to say is like
DNA, even on the best scientific thing, they only know what I am 18% of it, and that is literally because they've got the computing power. It's increasing on a yearly basis with the computing power. DNA is even admitted to. DNA is exactly tied in with a computer program. There's no difference with that. It's another transhumanism thing. It's exactly the same.
And you know
sorry, go on. I'm going to mean.
Well, let's just add.
This. Oh, no, I just want to say this. Bullshit.
We're talking about this, but like, you have your blood type, right?
As well.
You have blood type, right? You have a blood type, right, Del? You know, and so I don't know what your blood type is.
Well, we're all told that we have blood types, and we go to people in white coats who stick a needle in us and tell us that you're a type, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yes,
that
you have a blood type, Del. That's not like a conspiracy. I mean, it's blood type is not a conspiracy, guys. I mean, if you look at this anyways, if you are a woman and
to breaking down conspiracies.
But I'm just saying,
to the species. Well,
this is part of the species, man, because that's what I'm trying to tell you. But you guys won't let me finish what I'm saying, man.
Neanderthal. I'm waiting for Cro-Magnon, man.
I can't finish what I'm saying when I'm like, I know everyone's really passionate about this, but I'm like, in order for me to finish stuff too, I mean, I was trying to initially say to you too, I'm like, there's blood type, man. And then when you look at blood types, there's Rh negative and there's Rh positive, which means, and then if you look at even a woman, for an example, a woman, if you are a negative blood type, you cannot have a positive.
An A. All
right, if you guys want to talk over me what I'm saying, that's fine, man. Like, and then I won't get out what I'm saying.
No. Tell you what, one for truth, right? You quickly explain, but then go back to what you mean about species.
It's all tied into it. That's why I'm trying to help you guys understand where I'm coming from here. So if you look at the situation, you have blood types, right? Blood types is a scientific thing. It's not a fake thing. If you look at it, certain people cannot get certain blood donations from other people. Their body will reject it. This is not independent.
This is
something that happens. Now you also factor in that people have an Rh positive and Rh negative, which means rhesus monkeys.
Rhesus, man. And the thing is, you inject anything into anybody, they're going to fucking reject it. And this whole blood transfusion thing as well. It's a whole other day's work and conversation. But like, they had people queuing all around the block, you know.
That's what I was saying, anyways. Because negative blood type women cannot physically have a positive blood type baby. Their immune system will reject it. So why would it be rejecting a negative blood type? Do you understand
that? That doesn't sound natural. Why would that occur in the natural world?
Because it's potentially because we're different species. That's the point I'm trying to tie in. Because generally people who are Rh negative means that they don't have that monkey DNA.
But I don't think it's monkey DNA. Have you ever looked into Bruce Lipton? And the marking of cells and, you know, it's all about environment.
I haven't looked into it.
It's an old story, what the truth is. It's good. You literally could cover it in about 4 hours. But nevertheless, his tests were basically on stem cells and how they changed the surrounding environment.
All stem cell means is it's undifferentiated. It hasn't decided what it's going to be yet.
Exactly. So it's all about the environment that it goes in. So I do understand what you're saying there.
All about using plant and tree metaphors for things. We've got a stem here, you know. Just saying.
We're all carbon-based life forms, and I mean,
trunk of the body, limbs.
There's a place, guys. If you drive from, if you're ever get the chance or whatever, if you drive from the border of northeastern Arizona next to the New Mexico border,
can I hitchhike? I can't drive.
Okay, well then you can take an Uber.
Okay.
And then you drive all the way down, and it's just rock, man. It's just rock. As far as I can see, it's just rock. And then as you drive down towards this mountain town called Payson, Arizona. And as you drive, you probably can maybe even do Google Drive or Google Earth or whatever and probably walk through it. But as you drive, you can see that it'll just be rock. And then suddenly these little tiny plants will start popping up in these little areas around there. And then those things start turning into like bigger bushes. And then those bushes turn into a mix between a tree and a bush. And then those things turn into like an actual freaking tree. I mean, you can literally drive for hours, and as you're driving, you can almost like see evolution happening in front of your eyes. Like, I mean, it's not.
That's probably just the amount of salt that's in the soil, being honest. Or something totally, totally different like that. It really is.
The point is, you can tell that they're the same species plant, and they've.
Oh yeah, definitely, yeah.
You know, and part of evolution to me is also adaptations. We evolve based on our environment.
I agree with that as well. So we can't have changed so much. So why would we go from caveman, supposedly there, 6'4" tall, massive chest cavity, bigger, longer arms, to let's just say a 4'2" Chinese one? That doesn't make sense. And especially as we've worked out that the carbon dating, a lot of the things they found, I mean, the bodies of all these different missing links have been bollocks. To the point where there's been a fella come out and write a thesis on why there's no missing link fossils. You know what I mean? That's the most telling thing going.
I mean, obviously there's something about our past they don't want us to know about. I mean, I think that's definitely not even a conspiracy. That's just a known fact, you know? There's definitely something about that they don't want us to know.
There's a lot of our history, which I think does allude to taller people, smaller people, especially with the literary novels that have come out, Lord of the Rings, lots of English travels. You know, there just seems to be a significant difference when you travel around the world in different places. But to incorporate that into an evolution theory, and especially as the people behind it were pretty much racist. So not only did things get put in a different species, it was pretty much just by luck. You know, I mean, you can say that these the monkeys that live in China look Chinese, and that's where the Chinese people come from. Or maybe you can just, you know, correlate it to the wind, and, you know, in the mountains of Tibet and stuff like that. So there are going to be similarities on the animals. They've got bipolar vision and live in the same environment. You know what I'm saying there. You can't just disregard.
Well, I think blood type, obviously, and obviously are whatever our genes are, whatever, it's very important to...
Have you ever looked into how they look find DNA? inside the DNA.
Because it is
laughable, Tom. It really is laughable.
And why is it laughable?
Well, the families that they're looking into it, the patrons behind it, the people that have been pushing it, the people that are DNA crystallographers identifying these different things, the fact that it's increased hand in hand with the amount of computer power that's been put into it. Not only that,
Napoleon, man. It's so hard. You know, I have friends that are from the UK and their accent, your specific accent is a little bit harder.
Oh, sorry, I'll slow down, man. Basically, what I'm saying there is the amount of money that's been put into it is suspect. The amount of computing power that it takes to map it and all that is basically increasing hand in hand with the amount of information that they say they know about DNA. The families behind it are pretty much the same Carney families that have been running.
It's very suspect.
It really is very suspect.
Well, I mean, I think it's good to question everything, but I don't suspect anything like that. But I mean, I can see. I don't know. I took cellular biology classes. I had genetics classes in class and in school.
I don't doubt you're an intelligent person. I don't know at all. I mean, I never did.
I don't think you're even. I never did the
college experience, my friend. I was more along the art side of things, sort of pissed around in the art world for a bit. But nevertheless, I think you sort of have to. This is what me and Del were talking about. It's the disbelief part of how you can literally relinquish everything and believe in UFOs. You can relinquish everything and believe in planes on 911. You can relinquish everything and believe that Tesla was a woman and he had a death ray and nuclear weapons are real. But then you can't relinquish the fact that when you look into a lot of these scientific studies, pretty much fudged. I mean, did you know the editor of the Lancet magazine come out and said well over, the numbers changed, but it started off with well over 50% of the stuff that's put in the Lancet has been fudged. And, you know, when you check out peer review, it's not peer reviewed, it's a consensus. You know, there's things that don't correspond.
There's, of course, groupthink and everything like that. But, I do agree with a lot that you say, Napoleon, but, I mean, I know Dell was asking specific stuff about species, and...
I'd love your opinion because
we discussed what he was talking about, too, because, I mean, I think that was really important, and you want to talk about it, Dell, and you're obviously passionate about it, so, like, I'd love to hear more about it, you know, and your thoughts on it and stuff, you know? Are you there, Dell? Napoleon, I think we scare him away.
I just read it. I think Dell's just finishing off a comment he was giving to someone.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's so hard because, you know, there's somebody that I know that was the only woman that worked on, well, the first woman, I think eventually there was another woman that ended up working on it, but worked on the Human Genome Project. And her name's Deborah. And, I mean, honestly, she's probably one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. And, I mean, the way she goes through information, it's just the way her brain works, you know?
It's just amazing watching someone like that. I don't know exactly what you mean. I've bumped into a few people like that.
Sorry, man. I was just having a Leonard Cohen waiting for the miracle moment, and I didn't mute my microphone in time. But
beautiful, beautiful. Well, I'm going to mute anyway because I've got a nip into the bathroom.
Yeah, work away, lads. I'll be back in a minute.
Did everyone just leave?
You still there, man, mate?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, cool. Sorry about that. It's just in the nip off. I was studying chatting, didn't realise I needed to nip off and have a pee. So go on, where were you up to? I'm still listening. I'm intrigued. I'm sure Dell's still listening as well. So you can probably still carry on reiterating what you're saying.
Yeah. Just give me 1 second.
Okay.
You know, I kind of don't really want to get into like if you do, I understand and I'm fine with that too. But I just was thinking that it might be better for... If not better, but it'd be great for me if I could just talk to you about something else because
Whatever you want, man. I'm into everything, mate.
So you know, the thing is like I don't know if you've noticed, but that Zach Hubbard guy, the guy that's the Dramatria effect guy.
Yeah, he got married. Is that the pictures you were
putting? He got married. I don't even know. I always flip between thinking that he might be a shill and not be a shill or whatever. But then I think at the end of the day, I'm like, well, you know, he's got some nuggets of truth and sometimes he's right and sometimes he's wrong. And, you know, the thing is I can take some information from there and I can do my own research and discover, because there's definitely things that I've definitely noticed. Like there's definitely things that he's, I definitely believe in numerology, and I definitely believe that there probably is some sort of code that they use with numbers. And I know numbers are very important. I mean, look at numbers around the stock market. Look at numbers in the news they report daily, numbers and everything that we do, you know? And so, and obviously I think we all can see the 33s and the 47s and the 93s and, you know, the 11s and the 22s. We always see all this stuff all around, and it obviously means something to somebody. And so that's why I guess I might always flip flop between.
But do you know what? This is another thing. I've looked into this. So this is going to be a basic thing. The ones that you see on a daily basis to do with the time, if you used to change the time, literally, so 12 o'clock was like 4 o'clock in the morning. You're not going to see the numbers that they're on about. Then they'd be looking at totally different numbers. So I understand what you're saying, apart from
what Go slower, because I'm trying to follow you. And
Really, when you think about it, the day should start when the sun comes up. Yeah?
That's a really good net. Yeah.
Right. So if you start the clock when the sun comes up, so not being then, the numerology you see wouldn't be anything that you do see. The 11-11s wouldn't be there, you know. You'd say you could have, oh, well, I'd still see one. So, yeah, but it wouldn't be significant because you wouldn't see it twice. You understand what I'm saying there? There is a certain thing in there. But no, nevertheless, with all the other numbers, definitely, my friend, the amount of bones in the back and all the different things correspond. But these numbers are the numbers of man. And this brings us to why people incorporate the body. I mean, you know this, that cover knows this. Half the numbers that he uses are to do with what the hands count. You know, how your hands count, numbers of body, they're all significant numbers. So they're incorporating the basic structure of man into this way of keeping score.
And we're carbon-based people, so we're a six on the
God, you're six thingy, yes.
Hey, you know, it's, I'm going to have to let you guys go very shortly, probably like another 2 minutes, but, I'm sorry about that, but, when it comes to numbers though, well, back about the Zach thing, which is what I just wanted to talk about real quickly. The thing about Zach is one of his YouTube pages is going away and other things, he's saying that he's being censored and stuff like that. And then that's where I kind of just, part of me is kind of like, well, are you being censored, or has anyone gone through any of his videos when he starts making these general statements about groups of people and how he makes a lot of like really like just fucked up shit, man. Like when you listen to it, it's like, why the hell is anyone like, I mean, come on. You don't know if that's true. You can't say that all Jews are like these horrible people that like are responsible for all the bad things in the world. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like all that shit. It's just like, I'm like, I mean, that's bullshit. Yeah, like,
there's people, everyone.
Yeah.
People.
And I don't even think the people who control the thing, like, doesn't necessarily mean that they're Jewish either. You know what I mean? So, to me, it just seems so, that's where I think he's a controlled person.
I don't think the aristocrats subscribe to any country or religion. I really don't. I think they can chop and change.
But you know, where I live, it's dominantly, there's a lot, I just live around a lot of Jewish people. A lot of my friends, some of my best friends are Jewish. And Ashkenazi, you know, like 98%, you know, and because they tested their genetics. But,
yeah, but that only means you're from, some mountain region, doesn't it? And that doesn't actually point to anything. And considering we know the time period, so far nowadays, it's pretty much crap.
We haven't even got the Sasquatch yet.
We're
on J. Anyway, Dad.
No, honestly, man, there's a difference between species and genus, right? It's like a feckin' cat.
So I see what you're saying. You're trying to say
you can have tigers and lions and fucking the mixture. You can have horses, donkeys, mules. You can humans.
Aren't we all related?
Black, white, Chinese, whatever. Yeah. They are all so-called species, as you say. The genus are different. You can't you can't have a lion and a fucking human cross. You can't have a lion and a fucking whale cross, you know. That's what I was saying to you. That's all I wanted to say about that.
I don't think that, so here's the thing though. I definitely think we could definitely be related, but they're just saying that we're related to them. Our genetics are more closely related to them. And I don't think that necessarily means that we, you know, I see what you're saying, and I can see where, like, the disconnect some, like,
one between the both sides. You know what I reckon you do? I reckon you spend about an hour just looking into what they do to identify the internet. Literally. And do you know what? It's that mind-boggling that you will turn off halfway through after about 21 minutes.
So, no, but actually, guys, I have to let you go. I'm really sorry.
Yeah. No, but seriously, spend a minute looking into it, and then if you are cross-referencing most magicians' tricks.
What was it again, man? What was the name of it again?
No, all I'm saying is have a watch how they actually identify DNA, and then have a look at how they do tricks on stage for magicians with smoke and mirrors, and they're not too far dissimilar.
Yeah. Hey, well, you guys have a great weekend. And
you, man, mate.
I might be able to sneak on for an hour or two tomorrow, so maybe I'll run into you guys. You guys have a good day, okay?
All best, right.
All right, thanks a lot. See you later. Bye.
Take care, man. Have a good one.
You scared him off with Sasquatch, still.
No, man, I was only joking.
I know, I know, I know. how are you? You okay?
I'm grand. You know, got lost there for a while. I was listening to the Leonard Cohen from the soundtrack of... Natural Born Killers, waiting for the miracle.
You've got it in front of me there. I didn't click on it just in case it went dead loud at the quiet was there. You know me, I'm trying to remain.
I should have put in different pigeonhole, as Typo would say.
Yeah. Do you know what was funny earlier? He put a couple of comments in general, and he said, any moderator out there should have removed these and put them in the real, in the, you know, the corresponding chat. But the trouble is, I don't know how to do it, and I never did.
You can't do it anyway. You literally can't just move something. You can delete it or if you can't move it, you know.
No, that's it. I'm not a moderator anyway, but nevertheless, it was just funny the way he said it. But yeah. Do you know what we never hit then? And it would have been nice to hit the tomfoolery of the fucking space station. And I don't mean the channel. I mean the actual tomfoolery of the space station. I think me and you both agree that stuff they've been throwing out literally from day one has been cartoons. And they don't need to back it up with any proof, do they? So why are people actually still sort of jumping on the fence? You know, trying to remain, you know, space lands. They probably wasn't space. They were interested years ago.
They might want to make a website someday and go behind a paywall, you know? I don't know people's motivations really, do you?
No, and do you know what? I don't know the way this is going.
We literally just have to fucking just
like a roller coaster, isn't it?
You see half of the stuff I don't even remember it, man, you know. Some of it isn't worth remembering. But then sometimes, you know, you might have forgot about a particular thing in the way they went on in their character or something, and you let it slide, you know, that kind of thing. And that builds up too, you know. So but then, you know, well, in my case, you do remember then, you know, what they're fucking about. So I just don't, you know, bother with them anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like...
looking at the angle. I know they're just the same as the bullshit that we're, you know, already covering.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's like the UFO thing. People being abducted. You know, the late 70s, and it was all on TV, what, Communion, space films. You know, so we've seen it go hand in hand, and then within, you know, probably...
The invasion of the body snatchers being the quintessential fucking set piece, and...
Both versions as well.
Didn't just... It was so good they did it twice, you know, and Donald Sutherland got a fucking gig. I know, you see what I mean, man?
We literally are Plato's cave.
Yeah. So, do you want to see the top of the pyramid? You know,
Now Plato's cave has got a curved wall, Dale.
It's Joe Pesci. They framed Plato, but like it's really, you know, that's the top of the pyramid. Some fucker, you know, like in charge of an acting troupe.
That's exactly what it is. The artistocrat.
Trying to be one step ahead of everybody else.
Well, I mean, you see it in I sort of keep flirting back to this, but the man who would be king. I mean, it actually shows you the brotherhood between two men, but then how they act to make, you know, one of them picks up the other one, or, you know, reveres him in the thing, and obviously he has the injury with the arrow, which makes him think that he's invulnerable. And then literally you see how it goes on from there. It's a fine film.
It is the one that really shows us. You know, it gives you the idea. It's fucking obvious, as the man would say, isn't it?
Yes. It's as plain as a nose on your face. And not only that, every actor in it is perfectly cast. Everybody, everything that happens in that film happens for a reason. The music, the symbolism. This is funny as well. You get a lot of people talking about Kubrick and giving a lot of razzmatazz to Kubrick, and yeah, and I understand there's a lot about him. But these people who do these synopsises of films and stuff like that, they don't write about, you know, real films, or they don't write about films that could actually be, you know, pointers in the right direction. We keep seeing to get the myth and razzmatazz film.
It seems to be fucking Tavistock approved, first of all. It has to get the rubber stamp.
Yes, most definitely.
Had like over in, you know, they even threw a few over here in Ireland at various, you know, stages. Like, you know, Rank Organization. That was one of the old ones, wasn't it?
Yes.
What did they have? Some sort of a slave dude in a grass skirt hitting a joint.
Yep, that's it. I used to think it was Tarzan growing up.
Yeah, you see, but like, it's like, there's a surf, calling all the surfs, ring the bell, and we all sit down and fucking with a cup of tea and watch the program.
The next step was THX's, remember that one? Literally,
going around.
Conditioning. This is one of the things that I've been wanting to say anyway, but I can leave it, because the reason being is no one's ever going to do it, so I don't even know why I'm asking it. Go on, you carry on, I'll answer it in a minute.
To me, every one of these things is like the New World Order, or the elite, or whatever you want to call them, right? Through the propaganda mechanism, they're still only writing a letter to fucking Santa Claus, which they invented as well.
Yeah. And they start opening it, so we're the postman, having a quick look.
They're relying on us to believe it. And this is it's a numbers game then. We're trying to get people to fucking stop looking at their bullshit, or, you know, pointing out the hoaxes and things. It's just, it's an ongoing process. And, you know, like, people will, you know, sort of come and go and do their best and try to fuck you. But it really is down to that, isn't it? It's, we see it, and no matter who sees it, you know, it's got to be enough people to stop. You know, you need people that are actually working day to day in the machine, the, you know, the machinations of the system. In some office somewhere, who just fucking sees it and goes, yeah, I see what's going on here, and this is bullshit, and then throws a spanner in the rent. That's where the spanners come in. Just throw a spanner into the fucking thing.
Yes.
Happens, you know. I don't know after that, you know.
No, you're right, because you do, like for instance, when we see these, 2, 2, 1, 2, for instance.
Can hear you, man. Yeah, you're grand.
These TV plays that we see that are called terrorist events now, and people spot their mistakes. And I think you and I both know that a lot of people spot their mistakes, and the ones who are making videos about them and different things like that are compromised. They work for, you know, the media, the people perpetrating the things anyway. So that brings you back to, what do you watch? Because the signals are put out there. And I think Tom always alludes to, you know, the football, the terrorism, the aspect side of things. I mean, you know, there's lots of different pointers, but the ones that we pick up on, the ones that we enjoy looking at, do you know what I mean there? So that brings me back to, like, that question about films, is certain films that you and I have both seen that are tells, the real good tells for whatever, and yet people don't analyse it. Now, that proves to me that all aspects of the entertainment side of this YouTube thing, or whatever you want to call it, are controlled. So why don't people talk more like we do now? Because, I mean, I think we're trying to work out here that our talkers are real people. and just literally exchanging ideas, you actually come to a better understanding of how the world works. So
yeah, exchange views and the thing, man. Yeah, it's always been a dichotomy. They lay out the human condition. You see, they've sort of benchmarked and created the human condition in a way, you know, of you know, good and bad, the mundanity of having to run around for pieces of paper to fucking provide the only three things that any of us ever need is like food, shelter, and, you know, clothing. That's really the bottom line. And then everything develops after that. You know, we're all this thing that, you know, about stem cells and all this. They're putting it into it like a virtual in the mind's eye Petri dish and saying, it's a stem cell, blah, blah, blah. Everyone has their potential, man. And you see, they've inserted, they're like the middleman. That's what the operation is, you know, this fucking, part, you know, which is grown up from, you know, it's, well, we're kind of experiencing it, the latest version of it, but you know,
that's
going on waffling on a bit, but I'm trying to. I hope you're grasping what I'm.
I am definitely. We're sort of trained now to be looking to. So what else are they going to find out about us? When in natural fact, not a lot to figure out.
I'm surprised there's so many people on. I'm looking on the right hand side. I'm actually looking at the screen here, man. And on the right hand side of the screen, there's so many people there. And where to come in and say hello, you know?
This is why I went daft the other night. I was really annoyed. Because, but this is me. Have a little soundbite. It's if people want to get some off the chest. Now, I mean, I've grown up in a family where I don't really speak to anyone. So not the only child, two brothers, two sisters who were obviously older. So I've always done stuff internally. Anytime I've expressed myself to a friend, it's always helped. But it seems nowadays that people, whether or not they want to talk or anything, they're sort of set in their ways with what they're going to say. You know what I mean? I don't mean it in a bad way. I'm not talking about anything to do with it. I'm just talking about, you know, in general, people have an opinion now. They sort of get programmed before they go to bed and then they wake up with a new lot of programming.
Yeah, it's the way they've allowed things to develop. And it wasn't funny, that's how that whole last conversation that just went completely in a different way. Because yeah. I used one word, I actually corrected myself and said, not evolution, develop just for, you know what I mean? And that didn't, it's just like, you just...
Well, no, that's the word.
You know what it's like? Do you remember those old fucking yolks, man? You could buy them, and I'm sure they brought them out there specifically for this. But they were what the hell were they called? They were like, you put it up and you look into it, right? And you used to slot in circular.
Yeah, I remember.
Circular
viewfinders, I think they were called.
Yeah, I was going to say viewfinder, but they kind of look like that, but it was literally slot of pictures, and you'd be looking at slides. Do you remember those things?
It was one of my first toys.
That's what I'm remembering.
With the pigeons taken off.
Each and every one of those fucking pictures.
Oh, one thing, and by the way, sorry, you just brought me back there. Also, there was the pyramids on it.
They had, that's what I'm saying as well. They had all the iconic stuff, the moon landings and shit. I remember looking at Neil Armstrong in my viewfinder thing, right? That's what I'm saying. You click it down and it would move little, you know, basic clockwork mechanism inside would move the
it's like a camera. You need to click and it go back up and it.
You have to click it and it would go around and you look through the different pictures. This is like what the concept I was coming to with this, with the whole conspiracy, the whole travel of life, right? This pathway we're on. We've all got our viewfinders. And these fuckers are throwing all these discs at us to slip in and have a look at it. And each one of those pictures, man, is like, one of them is fucking, you know.
We've got fucking snapshots. We didn't even take them.
Yeah, I know. They're all given to us, man. That's what I'm saying as well. Oh, fucking.
Okay, well, yeah, I've got one for you. What about the Titanic splitting in half? I mean, I don't. Any time I look at a chocolate bar or advert now and it splits in half, I think of the Titanic splitting in half. It's fucking weird. There's some, and I'm not saying it ever did, but you know, just honestly, the lion bar opening looks like a lion roaring. And then, but I think it's Titanic sinking.
Paid much attention to this one, but I'm just going to tell you, and it's because of my own experience in the past, you know, in my life, right? And I'll tell you. I remember when I was in school back over here in Ireland, right? And funny enough, sponsored by Esso, which is a oil company attached to the, you know, all the bullshit and the machinations, and they were sponsoring the, you know, an art competition. And, you know, we had to, like, you know, the class had to paint a picture, draw a picture, you know.
I painted.
But the thing was, they had different bloody topics, you see. There was titles. Right? And one of them was the Titanic. So the Titanic, right, that was going on. Then the projects for the year, you had different ones. There was like a volcano. People could make a paper mache volcano and do, you know, write about it and all that bullshit, right? And of course, the Titanic, right? Now, fast forward, that's when I was in school. Fast forward, right, to when my children were growing up, it's the same fucking thing. They come home and we got to, like, find out about the Titanic and, you know, blah, blah.
Yeah. Forward. Well, I remember they were trying to unearth it in the 87. That was all over the news programs for kids. Do you remember the influx of kids' news programs, like Newsround and things like that?
Yes, they're still pushing the Titanic, you know, fast forward to up to 6 years ago. And that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about going to collect my granddaughter from school on the occasional day, right? And you're looking at all them coming out with their little models of the fucking Titanic, you know? And now what, you see, this is the thing, right? If this, like I said before, man, it's like we're born into this thing and invariably our parents and our grandparents, and all, they were in the different, you know, they come into it at a different time in the progression. You can imagine, man, I can really imagine in, you know, 30 years from now, so the school will have their little, two little twin tower fucking model with, you know, cotton smoke coming out of it. You know what I mean?
Well,
sort of reality. And maybe the other one is that they're being taught about all the fakery and, you know.
I always think about someone who was born, let's just say someone who was born in 1900 and lived 202. They've seen fucking turmoil in their life. And most of it is just in their life.
And these days, people are seeing turmoil and it's all on the television.
And they turn it on.
They send people off to these wars, and then this is the other thing. Where are they going? Are they being put on a plane and being flown to New Mexico somewhere in this recreated thing called Afghanistan? You know what I mean? We don't know. This is another thing. Now, while we're here talking, remember we were talking here, and I remember you were saying about, I can't remember how it came up, but it dawned on me, you know, just like, well, I suppose it was always in our faces anyway, but the whole point of whether it's a globe or whether the flat map that is produced, the thing is that like 76% of it is covered in water.
Yes.
So, you're only starting off with 24% of somewhere where allegedly everybody lives.
Yes. Yes. So there's a quarter of the planet that you supposedly know about.
Even in less than a quarter, allegedly.
Yes, nevertheless, because that thing is, it's, you actually can knock it less there, because I don't believe in Antarctica what they say it is. So you can actually wipe out about 6 million square miles or whatever it may be.
There you go again. So you might as well say, here's more fucking sea. This is what they're telling.
That's, isn't that strange? They're not really addressing that. What it is, it's sort of saying, like, there is a ring. So
they're not.
Or they're, so on both departments, like you're saying, on the ball and the flat thing, they're not actually investigating anything more so than, well, basically now they're just passing around a hot potato, they're just passing around a hot potato.
Yeah.
And then someone will heat it up again.
Yeah. But you see, they have a fucking arguing about the shape, or, you know, when you think about it as well, man, that's just another way of getting people just arguing about stuff and distracting away from people actually going to, and I don't mean GoFundMe for a fucking Arctic trip, or, you know, go to the North Pole and jump into the hole.
No, hang on, we've got to stop there, because we've all
that bullshit as well. There's
for his boat. Sean said, let's buy a boat.
Yeah, and someone like Sean getting fucking reefed out of it.
Yeah.
People that should know better.
Do you know, and this is what I think it falls down to, I think it comes down to the willingness to take it that step further. Now, obviously, we know most of the people who go through history saying, oh, we've achieved this, we've achieved that, are pretty much tied into the same deception bureau, just calling that for the time being. So these artistocrats, whatever they're creating it for a reason. So if you want to trace things back, I think what we should do is drop back to natural sciences, like we say. Let's disregard a lot of the stuff that the Royal Society and, you know, I mean, the Tavistock and all these things. We can identify some of their subterfuge now. So there are some things that we can go back on and change. We can't change them in history. We can change them in our, you know, personal view. But when a question is put to someone where they've already gone back and changed these things, and all of a sudden they revert back to the status quo, the consensus, that's pretty daunting. That sort of pushing back. So I know exactly what you're saying there. I really did.
And then everyone is like goes to default policing themselves and others. Like I was going on about the wrench thing earlier on. No one is talking about this kind of stuff, man. I'm not just saying it's just me and you that's talking about it, but I'm saying a lot of people are probably thinking it, but they're just not fucking saying it, or they don't have a anywhere to say it to.
But I think we've been spoiled because we've listened to so many good thinkers and talkers, and you pay attention to them because you actually, you know, it's more audible. So when something does occur, that's, it's very, very, very strange. It stands out. So, you do need to voice that opinion, especially voice it to someone who's open. I mean, I think you'd be the first to tell me I was being a daft twat. And I'd probably say to you, I'm not aiming at there either. But nevertheless, there are some things that need addressing. I don't believe Antarctica is what you say. It's the shape of it is fucking putting me off everything. I had a...
Bless you.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
.com. I love the forcefulness of the .com. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Horatio Aberato .com.
Now we know how to do a bumper anyway.
I'm sorry, Ab. I'm just being facetious.
Do you know what's funny? It's a lot of these discoveries, whether they be by the Masons or, you know, whatever kind of, you know, imperial discovery, military, whatever, you can't trust them, can you? You really can't. So then you start looking into the places where you can go.
Can I go into a little rant, a mini rant?
I'd love it if you did.
Yeah, right. The military, right, that's bandied about all the time, right? And it is part of it, right? But we got that from the little baldy-headed Raffis dude. Yeah, the military-industrial complex, right? It's like separated in a box. And I want to say it's all together, right? They're all department. You know this, and a lot of people who'll be listening to this already knows that, right? Where am I going with it? I don't fucking know, because I just had this an epiphany, and now it's gone out of my head, man.
It'll return, mate. Don't worry. It always does.
I'm sorry about that.
No, give over. Do you know, though, it's like what we were saying the other day. It is pretty much presentation, and it's something that's presented. Now, we know that there's a lot of people on these other channels, and it's, you know, you can surf by any kind of a channel going, whether it's the computer games to you know, to the flat earth people and all that and the hot potatoes. And it is all about presentation. So what people are choosing to put on. I mean, for instance, I've had a couple of bullies, not if anyone major, just like I'm saying, a bravi did a comment on my channel. And it was, you know, pretty much, well, you're putting your channel on there, surely you're putting it on there to be commented on. So what's the problem? But nevertheless, I won't comment on the channel most of the rest of myself. But why? I mean, I think we all understand now that John's pointed out in the past, you know, and you, it's a service we're using, and we're choosing to put ourselves up there. So half the people who are being offended on it, it's almost like it's just window dressing, saying, oh, look, you can come on, and actually, it's like a sounding board, and yet it's a sounding board that has no significance at all, really. Do you know what I mean? So why are people getting offended by it?
Well, this is the other thing. They're pushing that. That's the whole meme of today. Everyone has to be offended about fucking something. I don't even know how to explain it, you know, to anybody. If you're getting offended about someone else's opinion or what they say, well, you obviously don't have many opinions of your own apart from this emotional offense about something or other, you know, that's really important, yeah, to you in that particular minute, but it's nothing really to do with, you know, to shut down somebody. That's basically what the whole offended, I'm offended fence nonsense is, to shut down someone else anyway.
Yeah, well, that's and, where it comes from, because what you do is you shut down their sentence by walking away, so you offend their sentence halfway through, you leave. So that's where the word comes from. Halfway through, you walk off. It's like, no, just standing there saying, I'm offended. So, no, you're not still there. So, fuck.
The thing is, well, man, they're all there. They're not fucking separate things. They're all part of the same. They're all, you know.
Do you know what? I don't believe people are listening. I think if something offends you, you turn it off. I mean, I get offended with people being idiots, you know, if I'm watching something and someone's talking, and I walk off, I turn it off. That offends me. Now, it could be something that's solid, placid. Nothing to do with anything else, nothing to do with any racial, sexual, war, politics, nothing, just the way their opinion is. I could be offended that way and I could turn it off. When you see people in there going, oh, I'm offended, it's like, you know, titillated. There's a difference.
Yeah. They gave people remote controls when they gave them their fucking monoliths to look at. And you can switch over from one, you know, set of programming to another. But, you know, offense, you know, there's a fence involved there as well. You know, like good fences make for, you know, good neighbors. Mental case as well.
Well, yeah, let's get back to some of the things in the conspiracy world that are not far-fetched. People believe more than they believe their own eyes. So let's just say, for argument's sake, we're going to do top Trumps with something that's supposedly believable in the science world to something that people believe in the conspiracy world. So what I'm going to say is there's some people who are, curverts, that's the word, who believe in Judy Wood's space rays, right? And then you get some people who say they can see across long distances of ocean, then zoom in and bring the image back and say, no, Judy Wood's literally wrong. But what I'm saying there is the fact that the people believe in Judy Wood, there are some people who believe in flat Earth. So if that's being pushed, is that not a contradiction in terms?
Man, they are leftovers from even before Flat Earth, right? It was like a core of people that were going around promoting Judy Wood.
Are you telling me these people don't believe the Earth's flat?
I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is I would be quite fucking, you wouldn't have to try to convince me, right, that a lot of these people were just given new, you know, order, sort of, and you know, fucking recruit more people. So you got newer people coming in when the flat earth that we know of, you know, started sprouting up with potatoes and fucking Le Bons and everything else, yes. Right? They all came at the same time.
Yes.
There was a few. Yeah, there was a few planted beforehand, and you know, like even I, you know, was posting. Matt Boylan, how did he come on the scene first on YouTube? He was
NASA Insider. Was that the title?
And he was doing stand up comedy and with sunglasses, smoking a cigarette and not inhaling, and actually saying, "Yeah, I'm just using this as a prop." Do you remember all that? And oh, then yeah. Kind of
he did say comedy under it, but it wasn't funny, was it?
Comedian, right? He's got an IMDb page for fuck. They all have. George Bush has one for fuck's sake. There's no. So what I'm saying, all of that stuff was just the next sort of.
Basically, this is the funny thing, is my opinion of America, and people who make me about this, is everyone goes on about Kubrick and talking about, oh, what does the monolith mean, you know, this and that. To me, the monolith is America on the TV screen, literally for the rest of the world. You know, because me and Kubrick did lots of films. He did, Dr. Strangelove. He did Spartacus, apparently coming halfway through that, all these different films. When I say disregard him, what I mean is he's inconsequential if you believe the media. And this is what I think America is. It's the media. It literally is the media. You've had a president who was a Cowboys film star and working with, you know, monkeys.
Yeah, who had
before. It literally is a TV screen that we're looking at America and all these troops running around. It's amazing. So when you see Kubrick going, oh, this now this the screen's in space, that's just America going into space. And then you see the TV screen in the desert, and it's like, you know, that's the telly getting over to Afghanistan and all these different things. And but it's not hard because you don't need it. You don't watch Kubrick to see that because you're watching it.
You know, at the time, man, when he was using like the dimensions of the monolith, the cinema screen, which, you know, when they brought out telly first, they only had the boxier size, and then they brought out 16:9, and they've been trying to
cinemascope,
and now everybody, right? Well, nearly everybody. In the so-called realm of the sort of world, has their own Kubrick in their fucking hand most of the time. I used to joke even before the smartphones came out, when it was just the ordinary mobile phones, I used to joke, that one there, she bought one with the fucking, you know, the super glue attached to the back of this, you know, the phone, because people were already walking around with their phones in their hands all the time, even before they had apps to look at. They'd be just looking to see someone's texted them, or
definitely you've got one in your hand nowadays, so you're getting hit bombarded. But where was one on 911? Where wasn't there a monolith around on 911 that represented?
Well, there was two of them, managers. And they just dustified into everyone's eyes, but they all saw it on the one screen, and it was all bullshit.
Which incidentally looked like the Building 7, not Building 7, the CIA headquarters one. That was almost like they basically stood up an iPhone filming it for you.
There we go. There's some iPhone footage, you know, before, you know.
Someone should be able to superimpose an iPhone over that building, just let it film it.
I'm surprised. Yeah, man.
Well, they probably have, but remember the people who analyse and put all these memes out there control most of the stuff we see. It's controlled. This is what's amazing about it. I mean, for instance, he said, do you think it's a coincidence the fastest man in the world's called Bolt?
Sorry, man, I didn't hear that last bit.
Do you think it's a coincidence that the fastest man in the world's second name is Bolt?
No,
it's not, is it? It's not. This is how deep the level of control goes.
Totally with you there, man. But it's an ongoing process of you know, what they're doing and what we actually see what they're doing. You know,
it
overlaps.
I was going to ask you there the evolution of conspiracy theory from as you say, the mid-90s from these, remember the programs you were putting up, the Let's Talk About the Moon Conspiracy, Let's Talk About Big Brother. You get the evolution of that. You can see how that actually went from that to what it is nowadays with the arrogance of the different people on the panel. You know, people's body language. Remember, this is what I was trying to address with you the other day. The body language that's used, it's almost been, you've got that inverse square law being used on body language, you know, where it actually comes out on the computer screen.
Some of them are there to protect particular memes that have been sent out there. And when I say meme, I don't mean, a cute picture with a fucking smart, bit.
Yes, yes. You mean meme in the way that Dog actually invented it, not the way that a lot of these weird people use it nowadays.
Yeah. And all of that, it's still being pushed out there. All the sort of the different things like Waco, and here's one as well. Bombing and all that.
Sorry, mate, you got out.
No, I was talking about the, do you know, remember the Oklahoma bombing?
Yes. And yes, well, I have adjusted since. I was hardly aware of it at the time.
Yeah, but like, you know, different people have, I've heard this before. It wasn't just on like Hoaxbusters, but like I've heard Chris talking about it too. But there was a book written by I think he might have been the brother or a cousin at least. I think he was the brother though of the guy that was in charge of Oklahoma, right? His brother wrote a feckin' novel a few years beforehand about a terrorist attack.
And he was called Timothy McVie, was it?
All that, you know what I'm talking about.
I only know the names corresponding. I've never looked into it. One of the reasons I've never looked into it is because, obviously, I just assumed that it was a conspiracy, another fabrication. Is that naive?
Just another example of sort of the next layer of where the alternative sort of community, you know, researchers and media can sort of point at that and go, yeah, oh, here we go. And then, you know, you're down into another fucking rabbit hole. And the minutiae and the detail is quite good, you know, if you want to sit around and listen and read and talk about stuff like that. But at the same time, when you look at it all together, right up to now, it's still that same process is still going on, you know? Yeah. So.
Well, this is another thing. I mean, some people, I'm going to say some people, I'm generalizing. This is just to do with my opinion of 911. You might think it's bold out with that, obviously. There's some people who get behind media faker. Yeah, definitely media faker. Buildings brought down behind the smoke screen. All the footage pretty much fake from now on. Building exploding from the top. Impossible. We still sort of look at other footage from it. You know, people running off and firemen running the building. And, you know, and they're saying, oh, how can these people have covered up things? They don't actually realise everything literally was moving on that day. Even for 45 minutes before, you know, with the adverts that were on telly, the new snippets that were put in place, you know, it's, I don't know, it's very hard to explain to someone without sounding like an idiot. Then you have to explain to them as well, oh, you don't have to, you can just leave that and let them dwell on it themselves. But when it should be apparent to, you know, if they've got questions about something else, like I say, it's the equivalent of pulling that money out of a bag saying fake, over and over and over again. I mean, soon you get sick of saying it's fake money I'm pulling out of this bag. The ones that are saying, oh no, I don't believe with this aspect, that aspect, they have to be controlled though. There's no two ways about it. They have to be.
They do. And some of them, you'll never see them. Some of them are so vocal, but they're only in the fucking text chat. You never see their faces. In fact, even dare I say in here, they couldn't even be fucking arsed to upload an icon or something. We just get that fucking Discord face. And you get the same on YouTube. You just get the YouTube generic face.
It's almost like they don't want to give out. They don't want to give out any clues.
That's why they're so afraid that do they have a special box between the wire that goes outside their fucking house to the internet than everybody else? that they have a special sort of, as if people are even fucking interested in who they are or whatever, but it would be nice to actually hear people, some people talk as opposed to just ream and ream and ream of fucking text, right? No, you know, go write a book. That's the case.
Well, I think that's what made me come to the conclusion. We've both decided now that in a roundabout way, you can't hurt the feelings of someone who's lying anyway. You've seen how people react when you pull them up on certain things.
Just not anymore. Look,
if you don't get a reaction out of someone, it's pretty much you can say, well, you know, they're not reacting for a reason. In a roundabout way, if no one's piping in with a similar story or something they can interject with, and it's obvious that there's a different agenda. And for them, they're obviously they're putting in the hours or putting in the word time on a particular website. But for some other reason, apart from interacting with the people who are actually there for a real reason. You know what I'm saying? No.
And there's also a difference between people that are actually, you know, talking about what they see and interacting with other people and going around agitating other people. That's all going on as well, you know.
Yeah, we've seen that with recently the past couple of days, and you were listening to Sean on Hostbusters the other day, and we thought it was quite stupid that Barca Bell got more than 5 or 10 minutes, talk. And yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, obviously, if you know anything about NASA and things like that, obviously you disregard that for. You wouldn't disregard it. What I mean is you just break it down for people that will listen. But no, I was still left up. If I didn't know any better.
Man, we're on the next level anyway of all that nonsense with.
But that's what I mean about NASA. Talking about NASA is if there was anything to it. I mean, you might as well be talking about something that, it might as well be one of Grimm's fairy tales or,
at the moment people are buying rockets going into space. Delivering silly fucking
payloads, yeah.
And then coming,
that's a lovely word.
It's like, and then coming right back down to ground zero, there's another good word, and it lands. It's like Thunderbirds, man. We used to watch that as children, but we were still fucking smart enough to know it was make believe, but it's nice to get lost in the narrative. And what these guys have done,
they hijacked. They took a couple of episodes, though, didn't it?
They hijacked.
The first episode that got you? You'd have to get immersed in Thunderbirds. I do remember that. You'd have to go on twice. The second one I'd enjoy. The first one I was pulling it.
Yeah. They were even pushing it when, like, the swimming pool moves back and Thunderbird 3 takes off out through there. And it lands back. You know, like, it's SpaceX in the 60s. 70s as well, and they brought us up to space 1999. We will leave it as a nuclear dump, and we'll have all these cool spaceships called the Eagles, made out of scaffolding and bits of the lunar module. You know the little bit at the front with the windows, and of course the big cone rockets at the back, and the little psst, nozzles on each block, on each side of the legs. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah, I remember. Hey, no expense spared. I mean, if you look into Gene...
No expense spared.
Not Gene, what was his name? Not Gene Roddenberry. I forgot his name.
And get an Australian actor to fucking pilot it. Remember him? He's kind of like a John Le Bon without a beanie. You also had Martin Landau. Fuck.
Anyway.
He
was ace. He really was. He was ace. Well, no, what I'm saying there is the amount of details in Thunderbirds. That was literally made by British intelligence. That, you know, where it was filmed, the amount of people that were involved in it. Jerry Anderson. Yeah. If Sean listens to this, I'm looking to Jerry Anderson. But you know what? He will open a tin of worms with everything to do with.
He hanged around with all the fucking the Beatles and all that kind of stuff as well. He was up there with all the.
Oh god! That was literally the headquarters. People used to meet up at his house and everyone used to say, "Oh yeah, we love what you're doing." But what was going on in the background? What models was he making? Is this going to be, oh, this is the moon set, this is what we're going to land on in 3 years? You know, there's lots of things that we don't know anything about.
That's the whole thing. They were pushing nuclear power. They were pushing the moon as some sort of a ball of rock that you could
dictators,
build.
Pushing crazy dictators.
Yeah.
And what happens then? One of their eagle again, you know, eagle was the fucking, you know, the moon landers.
Oh, yes.
The Americans.
Yes. Yeah, and terrorism as well. Want the international.
And what happens? It falls down on top of the nuclear dump and causes a massive explosion. Which literally turns the moon into a projectile that flies away out of orbit. And they just hint at the destruction of the Earth, right? They don't even show any of that, really. It's always from the moon, you know, the people on this moon base. And then it turns into like where they're on the moon base. You've got like a bridge, except it's not a fucking, controllable spaceship.
There was a follow-up. Yeah. Because all you got to do is jump across the Atlantic, and you've got Battlestar Galactica.
But that was the thing, though, man. You know, all these things were just making our imaginations. You know, we go with them, right? But the thing about the moon base Alpha 1 was that it was like a projectile just flew away from the Earth thing. So it was like a snooker ball that was fucked off across. And every week, without fail, it goes into the orbit of some planet, and they interact then with the aliens of the planet, or they're dealing with some, you know, disease
anomalies
taking over. Yeah, all of that. It's kind of like the Goliath thing. It's all from, look, if you want to know who gives you this stuff, it all goes back to the same fucking crowd, you know, the Tavistock and the rest of them, you know, all the usual suspects.
Yeah.
They come up with the stories. They play into our love of imagination and stories. You know what I mean? And the rest of it then seems pretty fucking easy.
It seems like what the old did is like, if you go back, you know, a couple of hundred years, like the medal system to give out medals for bravery. And then like a lot of these things could be given out to soldiers, not soldiers, you know, officers who were already, you know, high up in these families. So then that creates like animosity between them. So people sort of, you know, go to achieve things. And you see how that plays out in the militaristic side of, you know, things, basically. So you see that people joining up and trying to follow things. And then in the political side as well. So then, if you think about actors with the lowliest things going at one point, I mean, you know, there was nothing lower than actor, but obviously, the accolades needed to be given out in the next department. So it's almost like, you know, if you bide your time, soon you could be the best cleaner in the world. Or, you know, whatever you're doing. It's, you know, maybe it's always on it's always their side, the aristocrats who run the place, who run the wars. You could call them America could call them the Medeans and the media folk. But nevertheless, you give out accolades and it makes people act differently, doesn't it? It's almost like getting a little badge, a little sticker. And that seems to be the way that all it's done now is it's gone left the army, it's gone into the acting side of things and then into the sportsman side of things as well.
And every one of them as well, the famous ones, they all did their little military thing, so they got a stamp on that as well.
Yes. Yes, they did.
A lot of them did movies. Amazing. You know, Elvis in the fucking, in the Navy and whatever. Oh, that's what I was thinking. Remember earlier on I was going and went on a rant about, everyone goes on about the military, right? But everyone kind of, well, not everyone, but I'm just saying, we shouldn't forget, right, that it's the Navy. You know, we're back to the 76% of the fucking, the bullshit that they tell us is just water, and they rule over the waves, right? And then without even going into the whole maritime law and all that, right? People can go look that themselves, right? That's flogged to death. But the thing is, man, that's what I was saying, is that if you look at it in that context, the Navy sort of trump the military. So they
yes, if you look, you know, they're a smaller outfit as well.
Yes, even if you have like the American Air Force, it's sprung from the Navy, and they don't have aircraft carriers for nothing. Like, who controls the fucking planes on aircraft carriers?
It's
the fucking Air Force. Exactly.
The Marines are Navy as well.
Go and look.
The Marines are Navy. People around in this place. Oh, no, they sort of, they've not been there. Everything's been taken over, maritime, but it's sort of, basically, it's almost grunt land being on the land. You're a pig, aren't you? If you're a land, you're a grunt.
Exactly, man. And you go now and look. Go and look. But just in your mind here, just we're thinking, how many of these people have either been in the Navy or have Navy ties, you know? My daddy was in
Prince
the Navy.
Prince William.
It's eye-opening. And I'm not mentioning any names, but people can go and look. And they've said it themselves on the different forums and things. Just look at Fetzer. We can all fucking look at Fetzer, can't we? And throw snowballs at Fetzer. But there's photographs of him out there with all these little accolades that you're talking about. And you know, all the little bars, all the military bars.
Yes. Oh, yes. Hey, they mean a lot, then.
Like, it could be just a Photoshop Mr. Potato Head on top of all the bars. But the point is, he's at pains to make everyone know that he was in the Navy. Then they have the song, In the Navy. You know, we won't go there.
Yeah,
but you know what I mean? All these fucking naval.
Just let me stop you, because I'm going to have a quick wee, but you can spin off.
I'm going to do the same.
If I say the point before you go, then that way you won't forget it, and then that way we won't leave that there. You can still think about it. Is when I say America is literally a TV screen, what I'm saying there is as well that the people in America, people who would have been the archdukes and field marshals over here, and you know, if there was such a thing going on, if they're in America now, they're in the media business. So their accolades or their medals are Golden Globes or are this or are that. And it's always service to, you know, the Queen pretty much, or service to the movie industry. So what I'm saying there is that the militarization in America, this is my main argument, is no longer three-letter agencies. It's pretty much the media is the one which is controlled. That's the message being sent out by all the actors, and there's no difference in the actors over there. And the ones that were on horses over here shouting Sally Forth 250 years ago. And, you know, giving all the, oh yes, what's our king and country? Yeah, no. Exactly the same. But all I was is that was on a personal basis.
No, excellent, man. I'm going to the Jacks too.
Right, I'll see you, sir.
I'll just say ABC, BBC, RTE, and
CC. Yeah,
and you're dead right though, man, on you know, what you just said. But yeah, I'll be back in a minute too. So Ab can cut out. This is a no to audacity, you know. He'll see the big long, you know, deadline. So he just cut it out. It's like 2 seconds work. Okay, I'll be back in a minute. Man.
Oh. Jerry, you're still in the chat, you know. Did you want to? Yeah, I don't know if anyone can hear this. Me and Dad were just in room 33 there, only because I was rolling a joint and he was spitballing about somewhere. Let's just refer back to some of the subjects we were covering earlier. Hopefully they're fake ology subjects, but nonetheless, we do appreciate if anyone's listening to this. What we're coming to agree with is history. Now, history obviously is his story. No one knows, you can break things down. The word as king is, you know, as king, you know, as king, I'm asking the question. So, maritime, me and Dale have been discussing maritime law, and we also know the Navy. So, the Navy's got pretty much a grasp on all the space stuff that we've seen over the past 60 years. It seems to be that the Navy's system in place is what runs base. The planet seems to be 74% water, whether it's flat or not. I don't think that goes into any question at the moment. There's a level of control with the army now that we're looking at with, history seems to be defined by, wars, or history seems to be defined by, at actions or conquests or something like that instead of achievements. Obviously, there is a couple you could probably point to that add fake. So you may have got these. There you go. Well, we don't include the 60s there. We'll say the Summer of Love. That seems to be pretty much fabricated, and the music and the ideas behind it. And also, you've got the Space Race. They're both fabricated. 10 years prior, you've got the nuclear arms race and the start of the Cold War. So the achievements that we've had throughout history are pretty much made up. How far back does that go? What do we know? And what can be relied on? And the reason I'm going through this little rigmarole is because we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people in chat there. There's Jellycan Man, O'Halloran, and Ruben Christiana, as well as Zal. And I'm thinking, well, seeing there's a few people in here, maybe someone will join in. Also, you've got JLB there as a moderator. I'm sure the Eagles are joining. But it's Supernatha here. Just to say, what can we trust? Can we trust anything? Can we decipher some good from some bad in history, considering we know history will be written with 19 hijackers hijacking planes and flying them into towers, which subsequently made them fall down, and about another 5 buildings around them. So, if there's anyone out there who wants to come in and chat, that'd be great. Okay, I'm going to mute for a sec, and then it will be dead air.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
1, 2, 3, 4. Listen to this in his roar. We want our hair back.
Oh, so what are you drinking, mate?
Just drinking me own beer, man, at the moment.
See, this is the way forward. You're thinking yourself and drinking your own stuff. Joe, once we do one of them, then the future's bright. I think any one of them will actually open the door for the other one.
Isn't it? Like some home brewers like just started subscribing to my channel on YouTube, and they'll probably end up finding Fakeology along the way.
Definitely.
That'll be interesting.
Well, it's not to say, we were talking about history, sort of nipped in and did a little bit of a soliloquy about history, and we both know that history's going to go down as 19 hijackers flying planes into Twin Towers. So, you know, if you can make any little adjustments along the way, like you with your own brewmate and give anyone some personal tips, that'd be great. And I think that's all. I think that's what this website's about. I don't think it's about pushing your doctrines on other people, but it's about questioning what you do know. And if you've done homebrewing, why not? Some of these fellas who are homebrewers online, you know, they might question it. They might actually, you know, enjoy your experience and value it.
Yeah, well, that's what I think is going on, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just a general people copping on to stuff. And so if they come across someone's YouTube channel and they're, like, have similar interests, like, I started, like, looking at different homebrewing channels just purely for information as well, you know, to find out different things. And, you know, it'll probably be likewise, you know, that's what I'm saying. I noticed some of them are subscribing to the channel and whatever, you know, so they're probably just lurking, you know, listening to stuff and maybe looking at the, you know, block ins and, you know, checking out Fakeologists and whatever, just because, you know, they made a video about making beer, you know.
Yeah. Like you say, there's a level of understanding.
Yeah, it's an exchange of information, at least, you know, and then what people do with that afterwards and what.
That's like what Ab always says when he's talking about, you know, his actors and actresses. He says, I don't want their opinion on, you know, politics. He's, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you don't, someone you know, I mean, who, you know, whatever their stature is in life or whoever it may be, but someone that's obviously on the pedestal anyway. Once they start deviating and, you know, getting into other things, it does sort of convolute the message. But if you're listening to someone who's basically you've never met before, you are more open. You know, especially if you know they can hit the, you know, not the bullet points, but, you know, the significant information that, you know, that's in somewhere. This is why I think the art of conversation. I mean, you allude to it all the time, the different videos that you put up. It is amazing. The amount of information that was actually out there, which which yeah. we now know to be false, but nevertheless, because it was put across in a serious manner.
Yeah, if nothing else, it's a study in what they were fucking trying to pull off and what their wish list, you know, their letter to their made-up Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's almost like people didn't have the attention span, so they had to, you know, they had to make it so it was shock and horror. No, or not shock and horror, but, you know, certain people have the attention span, yourself and a lot of people who got into them programs, but unless the context of the program and the information being passed across was, you know, relevant to me or something, you know, whatever it may be about, I probably wouldn't have paid it any attention. I probably would have turned over and watched The Word, you know what I mean, that type of program. Yeah. Nowadays, everything has to pretty much the same stamp on it to, you know, to get everyone, you know, to entice you into it. The shame's gone. There's no shame at all now in television, is there?
No, they just want to keep everybody in a cerebral fucking state of just in your mind as much as possible. So instead of people actually going out and doing stuff, they're just fucking in a virtual, you know, thought process that keeps them away from, you know, the natural or whatever the hell. That sounds like a bit of a waffle, but...
No, you're exactly right.
Yeah, and to harken back to say, or whatever, we didn't have the never mind fucking computers. We didn't have an internet or anything, you know? And people, you know, like, you know, they had phone boxes, you know, and you'd make agreement to meet. I'll call you the phone box at such and such time. You know, that's it. And I don't know how people were able to get on with that, but, like, it worked. You see, they've just made it a bit easier to lie to people, you know, with the internet, you know. It's instantaneous information. But, like, there's also, you know, so much evidence out there.
It's almost when you used to come in and you'd catch someone watching an infomercial and they were thinking it was a real program. And you go, what are you watching?
Yeah.
You go, I'm just watching this. And you go, it says it at the bottom corner, infomercial. It's in the advertisement. And you go, no, hang on. It's really is. It's that frog in the boiling pot. Now,
nice.
JLB, I'm telling you now, you should do this. Get a frog, put it in a pot, turn the heat up and see if it fucking stays in the pot. Because you know what? You did he debunked the monkey ladder banana experiment. Let's see if you can debunk the frog in a pot one. Because you know what? I bet that frog jumps out.
Yeah. You can always put a fucking onion into a wrap two shredder as well. They were quite popular in the 90s and the 80s. It'll slice and dice and without the aid of gravity or anything like that, it's just...
Yes, I remember that so well. You remember the 80s CD that you got for free, and then you said you never received it, so you brought you another one.
What was the catchphrase of the rap to? Amazing! You just see them fucking, they just put up, unbelievable! Yeah. Yes, the rap to. You know, onions are dice-sliced and...
Yeah, it was always David Blaine or someone who was magical. It was her out of El Long Kiss of Night doing all the tricks with the knives, you know, chopping through things. Does it take you 3.2 seconds to chop up your vegetables at home? Want to do it in 1 second? Don't worry. Boom. Putting this, you know, and it was like, no, three seconds is fine. It's like, no, use it in 20 minutes. Honestly, all of them were the best.
Man, for every video out there of some guy doing the chop chop with like a chef's knife, you know, highly sharpened, you know, there's probably fucking, you know, 10 videos of some fecker that chopped off one of his fingers by accident and ended up in the casualty, you know.
I'm glad they can switch him back on now, but nevertheless, it must happen on a daily basis.
And monkeys, man, if you want to put monkeys into any concept, you know what we're talking about. It's the monkey see, monkey do trick. Where?
Yes. Yeah, well, maybe that's why they're trying to jump. This is one of these arguments. Right? The answer to a lot of the things that they give us, the artistocracy, is monkey fucking first thing in space that was able to operate shit, monkey. Where are we from? Oh, we all come from monkeys. where does AIDS come from, monkeys? Do you know what I mean? It's bollocks, man. Literally, they throw in monkeys, fucking monkeys, man.
They told us in the fucking 50s, man, it was bedtime for Bonzo.
Uh-huh.
And then we had, get your filthy hands off me, you goddamn stinking apes.
Yeah, well, that was it. They started dressing monkeys up. You know, we're going for the big push. What? What do you mean? Is that we're going for the big push? Then we got Clint Eastwood in Any Which Way But Loose.
Remember all them? The fucking orangutan, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, I love Clint Eastwood, but look at his body of work. He can go, hang on, that's fucking shit for you.
Movie in places. But you, like, looking at it back now and saying, what was the point apart from giving a few more, and I say monkey in quotation marks, but you know what I mean? It was a very similar.
I know exactly. We've been going on about fucking genius now, then, you know, I think we've lost the plot.
There we go.
I think he's like, right, what dinosaurs? We got Steven Spielberg, didn't we? Dinosaurs, but he introduced big sharks. Big sharks aren't as fucking big as they say. And do you know what? You don't need a bigger boat. You don't. Everything's alright, you can go out of a canoe, you still be alright, you know.
Okay to talk about stuff without being accused of being any kind of shill or
whatever. I'd rather be accused.
Fucking.
No, at least if they accuse you of something, at least you can say, well, I planned it, I planned a word that comes out of my mouth. And do you know what? Once you start planning stuff, yeah, what's the point? If you start treating life serious, it's going to fucking get serious.
Yeah, and we also need to know when real people are fucking talking, i.e. like in audio chats, listen, they'll get the vibe of the whole thing. And, you know, it's all right for me to say that, like listening to, you know, various bullshit over the years mixed in with, you know, good information and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Can't write all that off. It's out there. You see, have this years ago, right? Ideas from just ordinary people. There's no qualification required here, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just fucking seeing what's going on and what they're doing. And no one should be fucking laughed at or mocked or fucking looked down on for that. And, you know, as you know yourself, a lot of it's the internet anyway, you know, but that's what goes on as well. And it can have an effect. That can have, yeah, but Denny, just let me say, it can have an effect. That could put off, who knows who that is putting off, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, who might actually be one of these people that can actually throw a spanner in the works, you know? Slow down and sort of make people think, you know? Like, yeah, even on planes, even on the Airbus, they still have, when the fucking, you know, the pilot's landing, it's like, you know, 100, 20, 30, then they hit the fucking ground, and then retard.
Nice.
He's not calling the pilot a retard, he's telling them to fucking reverse his engines.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, no. The opposite way. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're doing exactly right, because usually the path that's given to us, it's one way or the other. The funny thing with all this YouTube and this, no one's declaring it as real, either.
More like just a, you know, another extension of a reality TV show.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it was almost like let me try and explain this in a crazy way without sounding like a fucking weirdo. Right, you had the extension of, bear in mind, I don't do, MySpace or Facebook.
All the earlier forms of Twitter.
I never did that. But what I can see is with me, I can see that what they had to do is they had to put something that was extreme from that, so i.e. YouTube. So, you know, something that was extreme from that, and then put something that was not far off it, but it was a big gap. So, like, they had their answer to what they wanted. Basically, they wanted people going on YouTube, but they knew people wouldn't just go straight on YouTube. Do you know what I mean? So they have the big thing out there, which is YouTube, and then they have the small thing, and then gradually they mold in together. But then what happens is then from YouTube, you have something else, you know, the next stepping stone.
Yeah.
Which seems to be the interactive YouTube.
Well, that's the cliche of the, you know, the cats and the dogs and all that kind of stuff. And then you've got people that are actually how to. If you literally put how to into YouTube and put after that, somebody that's showing you how to do it. And then at the same time, you'll have people mocking and looking down on YouTube saying, you learned it from YouTube. Well, yeah, I actually did. And here it is. And it fucking works, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that level of YouTube. Then there's the conspiratorial realm, as I call it, you know, of YouTube, you know, which is, you know, and forth into where we are here in the forum of like
psychologists. The conspiracy side of YouTube is, I've only ever been once. It's like that place in London where people used to be able to stand on the soapboxes and scream their head up. Well, you know what I mean?
Do they still have Speaker's Corner over in London, or do they have a couple of paratroopers flanking it or something?
I've not been in.
What's going on there?
It was about 2007.
Nice, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, there'll be some. This is what's funny about all the stuff that we keep seeing in the paper. We connect conspiracy theories, one, we're on fake. People started believing papers again. Now, when did this happen? Was this in the, what, this must have been like a year in the 60s or the you know, the early 70s when people started believing the, what was it? Was that because of the pop stars or something?
Yeah, well, you know, when you said that, you,
even in films, innit? You don't believe everything you read and see in the papers. And that was in films up until the 50s.
You reminded me of another thought there. And you see, this is how they're taking the piss and also taking the temperature populace as they're putting out the media. And that was that so-called joke in quotation marks of pasta trees. Remember the fucking spaghetti trees?
Oh god, yeah. That was That's Life, wasn't it?
I
remember. It was about 66, 67, yeah. But nevertheless, it was before my time, I do remember it well.
And it was kind of like, you know, something else. It was kind of like a nod and a wink and a laugh at the Irish potato famine, because they were kind of saying, because of the weather and the dryness and everything, the spaghetti trees are not harvesting enough, you know, all that bullshit. And then they go to, hey, here's you know, a normal spaghetti harvest, and you see all these happy Italians just picking strings of fucking.
I remember, because you had the entire family genre, didn't you? You had the mum, the dad, and the kids. It pushed the Italian family thing as well.
Yeah, it was like sort of like a 20-minute documentary about the life.
You know, I watched that. You think I'm being nasty? These people need to do these things. Now, Del, I know you do. Sometimes you get handed something. Like for instance, the Goliath the other day that you put up online. Now, it's 3 hours. What is it? 3 hours, 28 minutes long.
Yeah. Well, I added in the, you know, like little introduction thing, but the actual film itself is 3 hours 11 minutes long. Oh, 47 seconds.
Oh, there we go. 3:11:11. No, you handed me that there, and I got up, not a problem. Next day, so right, what am I doing? So I'm not doing anything, I'm watching this. Sounds absurd. You know, how are you going to incorporate 3 hours and 11 minutes? What? No. This is what I'm saying. This is what I always think when I hear people talk about the time you're going to deliver a video. I hear a few people talk about this. It's all 8 minutes, 3 minutes is only the time. No. Fuck the paywall, right? Do a 2-hour video, John LeBron. People will watch it, mate. I'm telling you now. People will watch it. I would. You would. You don't need a paywall. People watch that. You still get your thing up. People spend 2 hours watching that. They'll come back and donate $10 to you. They will do. So, it's entirely up to you. I mean, what do you want to do things? But what I'm saying there is,
that's like an infomercial. We're in an infomercial now.
Well, it's a bit public. You say the way I am with a spanner, and I'm good with a spanner, so I understand how they give us the tools to fucking police ourselves, and I know exactly what they're getting at, so, you know, forget beyond that. But, nevertheless, like, you put some up there, so it's like, what are you doing? I don't know anything, I'm gonna watch it. Watched it, no problem, perfect. Got everything from it. From it now, there's at least 10 or 12 different trains of thought which I'm going into in my own little mind, not even mentioning the people, when you look into it, it's to do with maritime law, the fact that people in it are at sea. You know what I mean? And that's just the most basic that I've taken from it since we've been talking tonight.
Yeah.
This is conversation. This is what it's about.
That was in 1981, man. This was like the top fucking or so-called top actors, you know.
Yeah.
Man, and some of the acting was like, yeah.
You know, there's so much to be said about the amount of time and effort that's put into it. Like we were talking about with Gerry Anderson, the amount of detail that's put into them, space travel and all that.
And the amount of brilliant minds going on there that are turned around and used to fucking promote the bullshit.
Yes, but do you know what? They probably thought, like we did, that the future was something tangible.
Yeah. Well, I can say it used to be a joke, but I can literally say it. The future's not what it used to be, man.
But yeah, what about this then? Remember the Twilight Zone with Burgess Meredith, who was the printer, printing out the news before it happened?
Yeah.
And basically, new vampires. And I mean, amazing actors. And they use these people to get stories across. It's, you know, it's not hidden, it's there. And there's some people who just go, oh, this, you know, it's amazing, look at the story behind it, and look at what transpires into today's society, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, it's obvious. Everything's put in there. You know, score. Divide 9 by 11. What'd you get?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
There you go. Fucking stupid,
isn't it? It's like as if, you know, the coincidence people, like, fuck's sake, you're scraping the barrel if you fucking think that that's a coincidence.
Yeah.
There's too much going on as well, right?
Yeah. And it's uncanny. It really is uncanny. It's almost, remember that episode of Red Dwarf where they all woke up? And they were playing the Red Dwarf life game.
Yeah.
It's very similar to that. It's like, didn't you see the realize? It's like, no. Wasn't it obvious? It's like, yeah. Why was it obvious? It's like, because I've got a swimming certificate and I can't swim. Do you know what I mean? It is as simple as that. But like you said,
a mafia gangster type dude in the game.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, oh, wow, you know. This is what they're fucking planting on us. And that's
the good thing about that episode is they actually alternated all their characters. So the cool one turned into a geek. The one who thought he had high moral standards turned into, like you said, the mafia gangster. The one who thought he was honest and truthful and cleanly turned into a slob. And the one who was an android and everything actually took the life of a human. You know, they actually shifted the paradigms and it fitted well. Just shows you our presentation. Is everything.
Yeah, and do you remember the other ones they also did when they went back in time and all that? And everything was in reverse.
We're
in a place called Nodall, which is London.
That was London, wasn't it?
But it had a milestone. You see, they even had stones. They were looking at stones, and yet they were, you know what I mean? It was all sign stuff. But you see the sign, Nodall. And everything was in backwards. Your man had a black eye and he didn't know where it came from. And then when they were in the pub.
Yes. He stands up and shouts, "Unrumble."
And you just see this fist going away from his eye and his black eye was gone. You know, everything was in reverse.
He got his tooth back.
Yeah, which was quite weird for the cat at the end because he went into the bushes to have a crap. And
oh my God!
And everyone said, "No, don't do that," because it was backwards.
Yes. Do you know what's so funny about that? Is if you look at it, the beginning of that episode, and it's called Backwards. Probably a series 4 maybe. It's shows Piccadilly, where I go on a daily basis, and all the traffic's going backwards. You see him walking down Market Street, and all the traffic's going backwards, and it's one of the things that it's identified with. Any of the filming for that, if anyone bothered, was filmed at the Laser Quest Centre, which is just off, which is on Whitton Street in Manchester. We used to go there on a regular basis, and some days it'd be closed because we had to office filming. Met them all because they were all knocking around.
Doug Naylor and the other guy.
Yes.
Knew what they were doing. They had, like...
They were pretty much given a slot, weren't they?
They were appealing to the likes of people who made models of the Liberator out of fucking washing up liquid bottles.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And they had a guy in a fucking spacesuit standing on the side of the Red Dwarf with a fucking... What did he have? He didn't have a sonic screwdriver or a laser beam.
He had a roller.
He had a sweeping brush. roller, shit.
Yeah.
Brush as well, man.
Yeah, it was a brush. In the sound of it. Do you know what's funny about that? And it's going to sound so daft. I was, I was sat home one night, and I'm just with my dad, and he turned around and he said, this will be right. It's, you know the way dad's words. He turned around with the paper and go, this sounds like your cup of tea. And he read it out. He says, fella gets put into, fella goes into space, ship breaks 3 million years later. There's his cat's evolved into, blah, blah, blah. And I went like, yeah, that sounds all right. And he went, yeah, do you like it? And he sat through it with me for about 3 years. Yeah, I mean, it was one of them things where it's really well. It's a different angle. Even the people who were into Robinson Crusoe, they had all the myths in it, didn't they? It was all the classical myths.
Yeah. And at the very beginning, and this is like being like, you're tuned to Radio Del Quart.
I'm going to mute. Go and play it.
Will you just play the tune?
I'm going to get a beer. You play it.
Okay. Ain't no sun in imaginary deep space. Back.
Fucking love it, man. You know what? Go on, play it, please. It's so cool.
I know. The beginning bits remind me of just me messing around on my fucking keyboard, you know? And then all of a sudden, it goes into the catchy bit that we remember.
It was so good, though, the way it just crept up on you. You were watching a spaceship appear across the screen. It was massive. It was immense. It was being painted. was being painted, and one of the letters, the F was being painted, the gap in between the F was being painted red by a minuscule man, and then hear the drum beat, boom, 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 boom. It was the opposite of EastEnders. It was the literal opposite of EastEnders. You were there, one minute you'd hear EastEnders, because you were listening on telly at home, it was like, yeah, finish with that. The next thing, you turn it over half an hour later, and you'd hear boom, 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 and then it's that, and then you're in a world of your own.
We've done really well.
Do you know we're the first 3 minutes? We are. Hey, and that's the most stupid thing going on. Imagine, mate. You know, and people still think, people will probably, you know, think it's a bit crazy, and I don't care. It's never bothered me. But fancy that. I would say that because, you know, at the end of the day, it's very fishy. The information we've been given about it. You want to say it over summer. But the plane's going down there, don't have windows. You're not allowed to, you know, leave any trace of evidence. So there's something going on anyway when you try and go. So obviously that means don't go south. Why not? It might not be there. Yeah, but no, just getting back to that repeating of the news with Twilight Zone, because we were skirting on what's believable and what's not. They were just basic advertisements for what's coming in the future, weren't they, in Twilight Zone?
So they've put every idea out there, you know, in the Twilight Zones, you know.
And what a name for it as well.
Do you remember the one, the American diner, and the guy the diner saying
where he lifts his hat at the end, that one.
I'll see you now, right in his forehead there.
Yes. And that's is that people are the same all over? People are alike all over.
He said he was from, because he was kind of like, you know, you think it's bad that Martians are here, and this guy was from Jupiter or something. He just wore his cap, and he was like the burger man behind the counter in the diner.
The wise barman. Remember, as well, we've been given that wise barman. That's what.
And those hats, man, those hats are based on the navel. He might as well have had a little navel hat on him there.
Good spot, sir. Good spot, man. Definitely. that's exactly what they are. And when we know that most food come from the navel, you know, then most food, basically, anything that we eat now is pretty much being tested on the army, isn't it?
I'm still waiting to get a copy of that Militarized Kitchen. You know that book?
Yes, I've heard. Is it John talking about it?
I have it in my watch list on, you know, eBay. So sometime it'll come up when I can actually afford it. But I've read some of the, you know, the excerpts out of it. And listen to, you know, like John Adams talking about it. All the freeze-dried foods and all these fucking hamburger helpers and all of these, you know, like they have fucking, and this is even pre finding out about this. I used to sort of joke, like, if you can't fucking pronounce this shit on the packet, don't eat it. You know, if you don't, you know,
the way they have two confirmation. U's together, that's the, you know, because that putting two U's in it.
So yeah. But that book, man, is basically an awful lot of all the dried produce in the supermarket. It's all military ration. They've experimented, they've formulated, they've sussed it out, and they've manage to package it and give it to, you know, the civilians. And that is, yeah, well, that
it is something. It is, but when you know the structure of the aristocrats that are in charge, they're in charge of all the food anyway.
Yeah, well, once you
realise that, these supposed food magnates, and you look into them, it's all, no, they're part of this company and they're part of it. Going on, yeah, that's pretty much the military-industrial media complex. There's questions. The ingredients, because some people have sanctions against certain ingredients. Now, why is that? You know, if it was a unilateral thing across the board, then certain things would. I think that is pretty much the same as fracking. It's just basically to create, oh, these say it's bad, so look, these are saying it's bad. they're not going to tell you what's bad. You have to use your own discernment, you know, when it comes to, you know, to that basic level of, you know, processed food. But you might have some,
it does manage to put people into back into little foxholes and trenches.
The organic movement, don't they? The organic vegan movement, which I tell you what, is pretty much militant at the moment.
Yes, declaw your cats today, I suppose. When you're not going to your fucking reassign your sexuality, you know. You see, all of that. Oh man, don't even get me started on it. It's too late.
Oh, are we on EGI? I was talking on my own for the first 3 minutes because I heard apps.
Go all numerology. Are we talking to 7 here or are we talking to 12?
I have no idea, but
it depends on the patient.
There's some
on
sort of synchronicity going on.
It depends on.
There is. I wouldn't have looked at the clock otherwise.
It's on the Patreon account, man. All right.
Oh, yeah, because, no, hang on, it does cut out silent time, so we might have missed 3:33. There we go. See, you couldn't help yourself, could you? EGI.
Yeah, we sailed through it, man. We sailed through the 3:33.
So what do you think about Charlie's Angels? Do you think Charlie was injured?
I think Tom Bosley was in a rather embarrassing situation that he had, you know, three probably transsexuals jumping around him at the time. But I think the clue to Charlie's Angels was the box, right, on the desk. And the box on the desk was like the forerunner of a Bluetooth speaker, but it had a wire coming over. And it had what's his name when he wasn't doing his soap opera fucking bullshit, Mr. Blue Rinse, gray haired dude.
Oh shit!
You know, they're probably modeling Spelly. This guy up.
No, not Spelly. Yeah.
No, the actor. I'm talking. We're talking about the narrative here. We're not talking about the.
No, I don't know. It's gone. I do know what you mean. I know all them people, but do you know sometimes they believe it?
Famous. There was two famous soap operas at the time that were like sort of mirror images. Well, there was three if you want to go really,
you've got the one that always reminds me of.
Yeah, there was Dallas.
Yeah, you had Larry Hagman.
I'm talking about the next one. It wasn't Dallas. There was another one beside that. It was completely...
Dynasty,
right? Do you remember your man in Dynasty? He was kind of like the...
Well, he was the one that always reminded me of Jack Palance.
If I can remember his name, you see, this is the thing. I'm sitting here, not even near my keyboard to Google it. But that's the thing. Oh, Google is not your friend. It wants to help you forget things so that you go look at them and then they can slip in bullshit.
I'm going to click on Google now. So I'm going to put Dynasty.
It is basically that the star of that show, the guy, he's the voice of Charlie in Charlie's Angels. That's the bottom line of that one. We won't even go transvestigation on that, you know. It's just like another... if media fakery and transgender and all of the agendas...
Right, well, is it John Forsyth?
That's the man. There you go.
Okay.
Right, well, that's the character.
He's got a look of... he's got that generic face of acting.
Yeah,
get generations of...
When he was doing fucking Dynasty and Charlie's Angels, he was like him in Charlie's Angels, but like he was the same fucking dude. He was like the grey-haired, blue-rinsed dude.
Tell you what, Del, let's just stop here and make a quick appeal. Let's pretend this is like a child in need day. I'm going to make a quick appeal now for Aberato, who's there. He's starving of new voices to come into chat. So if anybody out there wants to come into chat and talk, That'd be much greater. We're making an appeal there. That's an appeal. That's me and Dell are appealing. So anyone out there who's hungry and listening, or anyone who's in the live stream chat, to go to the bottom, click on Discord, come and join. Okay. Sorry, Dell.
Yes, that's a good ad, and we probably hear ding, ding, ding. Grasshopper, you're listening to another hour of Fakeologist. Fakeologist.com.
The learned gentleman, because Abarazzo, I think we both agree, has surpassed anything that someone who's not being funded, not being pushed, which I think we can both agree on. He's done marvellously well. Now, that does mean he's been neglecting his family for the past 5 years, so we're here to make sure he's got a bit more time for himself. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's fine, you know. There's nothing untoward with, you know, I know that his model, you know, and everything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem, per se, with that. I just have a problem with, you know, people that, you know, have this attitude, and then they go and do that, you see?
Yeah, yeah.
And you can say, oh, Del's old fuddy-duddy doesn't like that shit, you know, get with it or whatever. No, that kind of attitude, I think, is called manners and respect as well. It's separate from anything else. And it could be make or break between people actually looking into stuff.
Yeah, people wanting to contribute and the separation, yeah. There should be a buffer point. But, you know, this is the funny thing as well. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to get involved if it wasn't on Discord, because I did try and download a couple of other bits and they never worked, you know, never seemed to work. So my voice wouldn't have really heard on there.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
But nevertheless, I can see exactly what you're saying. There seems to be, because it's a new medium, so to speak. There's lots of being tested out. And me being the person who I am, I probably rub people up the wrong way, and I'll be the first to admit it. But I'm sorry. You know, it's like people say, I'm not here to make friends, offend anyone. I've been given a chance to, you know, speak my mind, which I think. I think it's a valid place. It's not saying my point's valid or anything. I'm saying it's valid. It's valid that there's someone able to come in here and speak their mind. And also question anyone else who's coming in there, speaking their mind without being rude. And you can address, you know, differences. Yeah. I think it's brilliant.
For some of them that sound like, you know, all of a sudden they sound like they're on a phone, or they're talking through a fucking string on the end of a can.
Yeah, it does seem like people listen.
You know what I'm talking about there, man? Yeah. You know, we're back to that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, it's all that relinquishing ownership to your personal property, yeah, to your, you know, personal, what do you call it, yeah, intellectual property. You know, what you say on air, blah, 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 which there will be. Why not? So anything repeated on air could be construed or taken in any way you want. That there will be something like that when you join up.
And it's not like, you know, I really enjoyed our chat tonight here in the live stream. And, thanks, Ab, on, you know, fakeologist.com and the Discord. But we're surrounded by fucking infiltrators, man.
Yes.
We've pointed out some of them. It's not just down to us to fucking, you know, say it or speak our minds, but... This is not your chat.
You're spot on. It's not down to us, but do you know, the daft thing is, we can talk about these things because at the end of the day, we've actually identified that we know where this so-called fucking war or whatever the battlefield is. And it is online now. You know, they can come around and do things, see if you've got some, you know, if they decide that you're a danger, make up some stupid thing about you, you know, whether you're a jihadist, whatever it may be. More easily, they can shut you down with opinion. So, you know, quite easily, what they could do is now, and this can't really sound deaf, you could complain about me and you talking on it. What you could do is you could put some peer pressure on the people we criticised yesterday. There could be some sort of blowback from if you think the things that other people
do. Oh, I'm sure some people will be offended or something or other, you know. But
yeah,
like,
there's a number of ways that can always, and all I'll do is, it's a case of before it gets back to happen, obviously I'm just worried free about anything that comes on it. But he could be swayed by opinion as well. See, there's many ways things can be manipulated or anything like that. And I'm not saying that is swayed by opinion at all. Because I think that obviously he's never asked for donations or anything like that. He just literally says that, he has to find out who's listening, which I think is commendable.
Yeah. And buy him a cup of coffee if you can.
Coffee money.
Oh, that's great.
And do you know what? I think he's even said in the group.
Yeah, that's feckin' fine, you know. No, you just disappeared. You just stopped. It was just in the mid-sentence. You just, you broke up.
Oh, sorry, I'm drinking beer. Yes, I keep. Sometimes when I stop talking, I'm still saying it in my head.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, good. No, I'll tell you what, Dad, it's been. I know you're tired, and you are. I'm going to go in room 33 now. So if you follow me in there, we'll sort of gym up before it's night time, and we'll say goodbye to everyone on there. I'm sure
we'll say goodbye to everyone there, and I'll also knock off the recording because I had the foresight to do that when the streamer disappeared out of live chat earlier on.
But that's what I mean. I'm sure that I will. If you have missed that, we'll call you up on that and say give us it.
Yeah, well,
is what you say, isn't it? Is that the recording?
It'll be there for him, because I'm way behind anyway on the bog. I just post, before I even, when we stopped posting and all that in the bog, the volume of audio chats were kind of like to the point where I'd catch up. So I'd always post two each time. And if there was nothing else that I was posting, I wasn't just going to be posting like Fakeologist audio chats one after the other, because that's for here, for Fakeologist. Yeah. That's why it kind of went. So that's why you see Fakeologist audio chats popping up and there are people who have just subscribed to the blog and they get them then, what I mean? It's kind of like, a few weeks behind, yeah, or whatever.
No, but it's like throwing out a new magazine in a shop. You put them in, people come in and go, oh, what's this? He told me over there, because that's what it's like in the early 90s. People can get a new magazine in a shop.
I was always a part work collector from, all the different magazines. It was just like, they even had one at one time. I probably went on about this before, but it was called the War Papers. And they were literally, they just printed off another batch of the newspapers from between 1939 and 1945.
Oh my God, look at that. You still got
them? No, that's what I'm saying. Every week I was collecting them, I'm sure they're probably still over, in me ma's, from years ago up in the attic. That's where I'm hoping they are. But they were the kind of thing where you could, get a folder for them and just slot them away. It was like all the other art.
Free binder with part one.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Free binder with part one. Marshall Cavendish and all that. And that was the bullshit, right?
They made you buy it though, didn't they? Did you? I mean, this is it. Oh, it's not a common interest. And then, even the way that they put an interest in that, this military memorabilia, people aren't really asked about that. That stuff gets bought online, people put it in the fucking cupboard out of the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It really, really does. People don't care anymore. And these people, every now and again you get them stories of people selling the medals. I know people who've thrown the medals away overboard, on the way home. Yeah.
It's a fucking scam, man.
Literally, they're giving the medals. They can't do it. You can't do it in public. They get fucking court martialed for that, man. Literally, all of them. You can actually get penalised collusion. So there you go. It shows you there's something fucking weird going on. Well, it's not even weird, is it? We know what it is.
Didn't they do set pieces, though, as well, in... this just, you reminded me of this when you're saying about throwing medals away. I don't want to go in, go into a big rigmarole.
No, I'm just rolling.
If I'm not mistaken, right, Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, didn't he throw his medal into the, he was on a bridge somewhere.
Yeah, was it in Olympic?
It could have been the fucking, I don't know which bridge it was, but maybe I'm just fucking.
No, was it, did he throw his Olympic gold? He said he threw his Olympic gold away.
True, that's what it was. It's Olympic gold medals, right? Because of all that, you know, same kind of stuff. And at the same time, you had
that's a bit of symbolism,
and then he returned his medal, or didn't turn up to receive it in the first place, or just returned it at some stage. Do you remember that, man? There was like this meet at the time. In the mainstream where all these celebrities were returning their accolades back to the system.
Yeah, Brando, we had Brando.
Dude, I remember. Marlon Brando as well. He just fucking totally rebelled.
Yeah. I remember the Superman thing you do, but I think I should see something lovely as a tree. Trees whose branches, big and strong, Camptown lady, sing this song.
I do that.
I tell you what, though, you know, when it comes down to it, they do pick the right people to fucking portray these things. You know, even off screen, these are the lifetime actors. What about Christopher Reeve? His last film before he had an accident was him pretending to be paralysed and to kill his wife and her lover.
He's jumping off a horse. Falling.
Is that what happened? I thought you said hearse.
I'm always pulled up on my fucking Irish accent when I say a horse, and if I'm talking about the car, the long car that you put a fucking coffin into, I say a horse. You know what I mean? It's a horse is a horse, of course.
Get off your horse and dig your grave.
Get off your horse and drink your milk.
Oh, it's funny, though, isn't it? We get these little narratives in films. Well, yeah, let me forward this in. Right. Richard Donner directs his Superman 1 and 2. And then a number of years later, he made the Donner Cut, which is basically what he said was it's going to be his definitive work. It was going to incorporate 1 and 2, which he originally wanted to make into the one film, but time was running short. And, you know, the way they say things, the word of. So they had to sort of finish early and turn it to two films. But if you watch the Donner Cut of the most recent, you know, Superman film finished in about 2008, 2007, in reverse, because what they do is one part of the film, they reverse it, Superman reversing the globe. There's a bit where you see a rocket land back where it took off from.
You know, we're back to X fucking...
Yes, it's very similar to, SpaceX. You're looking at it going, no, I don't, maybe... But the most silly thing is if you actually realise that all you got to do is look at Superman 1, Superman 2, it gives you the narrative for about 20 or 30 years history there. Now, to say these things aren't put out there to start with, of course they are. We know they are, and I think all they do is they put the idea out there and then they mutually work out a time, you know, everything sort of, you know, there's a countdown time. Do you remember that the countdown clock to London? It's almost like that. That was almost symbolism to, right, the stuff's going to start now.
Yeah. Man, do you remember in the fucking, well, we're on the fucking Superman movies. And that's the one thing I want to fucking say as well. Superman is not a fucking man. He's an alien. He came from fucking some other place, remember?
Yes. Funny that. Krypton. The only known survivor from the planet Krypton sent here by his father, Jor-El, to...
Yes, but the other thing is then you've got the gangsters and they're standing on a fucking flat earth, right? X, the fucking squeal like a pig dude, idiot boy, breaks it, remember?
Yes, he cracks it down, he says, strategically placed a nuclear warhead right there on San Andreas Fault with California falling into the Pacific Sea.
Let's stick the boxes here while we're at. They're reinforcing the whole nuclear fucking bullshit. They're also
space.
Yeah, they're reinforcing
Superman from space.
Yeah. And also, you know, the only one who can help you is like Superman.
Also, what is he? He's a reporter. Well, he's
part of the media. That's the other thing. Sorry. He's a media man. He's a media man. Yes. Just like all the other people. Like fucking Peter Parker is the fucking photograph man for the media, and he's Spider-Man, and Batman is like, he owns newspapers for fuck's sake.
Batman, the world's greatest detective.
They're all involved in the media, and yes. Fuck's sake, Murder, She Wrote, Jessica, she's got loads of books about it. She's, you know, she's, you know.
Another thing now, we don't need to leave Superman. You see a tragedy at the top of a tower, and also you literally when you're watching that film, it mentions the clocks on the wall mention 911. There's rolls of paper in the background that look literally like twin towers. The way it's filmed is filmed like it was a dry run for 911. When you look into what else Donna was involved with, and I don't mean what I mean is I'm talking about Mankiewicz. Now, Mankiewicz wrote the screenplay. Right,
he was a Donner kebab. That's yes. What fucking
right, honestly, it literally is. It's something for us to look at, and it was to take on board.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
Now, the name Mankiewicz, Sean will be very, very, very versed with, because obviously that's stuff to do with the nuclear weapons and space. But nevertheless, this new name, Mankiewicz, why bring Mankiewicz in? Now, this is the late 70s, and he even says, I wasn't a writer. So there's something involved there with the cast and the director. Yeah, and Superman. But this is another thing what I worked about. No one's done a synopsis on Superman. Now, I could point out probably 100, 150 things in Superman that correspond to 911. Now, I'm not a filmmaker or anything like that, but yet people keep referring back to Kubrick.
We should watch it some night and just fucking pause it and go, you know.
I'm up for it, mate. I'm really up for it.
I'd be really into that now, you know, only, you know, not now, you know, as you know.
Oh, no, but like you said, we were watching that Goliath, the amount of boxes at it.
And thank you, by the way, for fucking taking the time to look at this. You know, just someone throws a 3-hour fucking thing.
At the end of the day, though, how long did it take to put up?
Did you not see fucking lots of stuff that's, you know, they literally packaged it into a wish list. That's what I think that movie was. But it was at the tail end of where they still had actors that believed in what they were doing, and they were very convincing. That's the other thing. And like, you know,
we had the androgynous female part as well.
You did as well, and you know, that's what I'm saying. Every topic was hinted at there, right? In a bubble of a sort of enclosed society of people. And you see it, the elite and even the ones, the rebels, and they were
very similar to Logan's Run, wasn't it?
It was their version of Logan's Run without it was like
the excessive clothing. What they call them, the loons.
Yeah, but the thing, the overall aspect of that movie, The Goliath, is that it was like the rest of the so-called world, i.e. us that were looking at the movie. We're looking at that. It was a ship that sank. So we were kind of looking at a petri dish of a society that developed in, you know, do you know what I mean? It's like,
well, how about the bit when the girl actually and broke her leg?
What happened to her? She got Palmer's disease.
So yeah, hey, I tell you what, that's handy, that Palmer's disease, isn't it? Four men come in, hold you down, and inject you. That was disturbing. That was disturbing. She knew she was going to die. That was really that. Yeah, exactly.
her mother was kind of like beseeching, like the, you know, Christopher Lee, the Captain Mackenzie. Yes. And then the inevitable happened. All these fucking, you know, the sailors, you know, the what do you call it, the security that was built up by the fucking, the stowaway Irishman who was like Frank Gershwin with all his, he invented
Mascot.
I think that guy invented method acting, you know, forget about
it. That was not scripted. What he did there was not scripted. You could see that. You know what I mean? It sounds daft. You can spot things. This is why acting is such a fucking funny thing, because, alright, we're given a certain amount of actors. It's always a handful. It's never any more, never any less. It's always the amount you can handle. And then what they do is people have a timeout, and they literally say to them, look, go and do what you want for 10 years. But in 10 years' time, we're going to call back on you. And they do. They do. It's hard to explain, but do you know what I mean? They give people, say, well, I'll come back in 10 years, or I'll come back in 8 years, whatever it is, and we'll throw you back into it. And then you get the ones who are constantly, boom, yeah, not a problem, we'll keep doing that. Now, I don't think they're the yes men. Like Tom Cruise, and you know, these, I think they're thrown in for different reasons. I think these are I think these actors that are the ones that have been in for films for years, they're like the milestone actors. You know, we've had them over a number of years as well. But I think the ones that get thrown in and out of films, like the comedy actors, Jim Carrey's, the Adam Sandler's, the Steve Buscemi's, you know, these things, they introduce them and they can get rid. And it's only ever to push whatever the narrative is at the time. I mean, who is it at the moment? I don't pay attention to films, so I don't know.
I don't either, but like, to go back to what I was saying about the likes of Robert De Niro, and where did they all end up? They all ended up in the likes of movies like Wag the Dog, okay? And at the time, back in the 70s, the late 60s, these guys were
nonconformists.
The method actors. Yeah. You know, Robert De Niro, he'll put on fucking, you know, he'll eat himself stupid and put on, you know, 2 stone to, you know, do the... Yeah, Raging Bull. Right? So this is the method acting. You're talking to me, you know, this kind of thing.
We've seen that with Bale and Gyllenhaal as well, haven't we?
Yeah. But then, you know, what have we got now? You know, what's the method acting now?
Do you know? I think what it is it's. Do you know? It sounds daft. You can put it akin to fucking auto-tune.
Sorry, man.
Oh, never thought about that. Yeah, method acting. Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's.
It's Google Hangouts. You know,
I'm sure there's people, because there's been a couple of times. I swear to God, I know I've been fucking listening to Louis Theroux, and I'm not even joking there. I've heard Louis Theroux on a couple of different hangouts, and I've gone, right, okay, this is Louis Theroux. And I can tell you his name, I can find his channel, so it's fucking Louis Theroux. You know what I mean?
I know who Louis Theroux is for my
Do you know what I mean? Fucking Red Dragon, Pink Dragon, whoever it is.
Fucking, he interviewed, you know, the biggest one to push, you know, point the finger at, and that was like, Jim will fix it, you know?
Yeah, well, you'd see him on Hangouts, I'm not joking, it's fucking Louis Theroux. You hear his voice, it's Louis Theroux. Doesn't hide it because it's so obvious. Calls himself Pink Dragon or something.
And we're at the Tim Riefat stage of Tim Riefat, could quite possibly be Evil Edna. How you heard it first here, and quite appropriately, you should hear it on Fakeologist.
I think it deserves it. I really do. I think that deserves it. I'm glad you said it. People would say to me, then, oh, Andrew, Tim Riefat. I've never heard of Tim Riefat. Never heard of him before in my life. But I had seen the name. I was mumbling it. I had seen the name, Tim Riefat, and I'd seen it in a number of different chats prior to the odd person coming in chat, probably after when someone left chat, which made me... Remember, all I have to go on is chat. I don't really listen to people. I definitely pay attention, to be honest.
We can use Tim Riefat as a sort of a coverall for all those faceless contributors that, you know...
Yeah.
Can't even upload a picture. They like to, you know, remain menacing. And always having an agitating kind of vibe.
I would like to know what a couple of people look like in thing. I'd love to know what old Alan looks like. They've got him down as like sort of like a Kenny Rogers character, but with darker hair.
No, he's a bit broader, and he's got the bob cut, and it's a typical American in Vietnam kind of scenario.
Yeah, you see, I'm not good at visualizing things. I remember I tried visualizing Ab, you know, because you spoke the voices, and I literally couldn't. And yeah, I know it sounds daft, I couldn't at all, and I couldn't even visualize what I thought he looked like, or even what his voice made him sound like. You know what I mean? And some people you can.
Yeah, and then when you do see them, you go, "Oh feck, that's not what I thought he looked like."
Yeah, no, I had Rollo down pretty much straight away when he was talking about, because he described himself every two or three interviews anyway, or every few chats. Just as I've got scraggly hair, I was saying my beard, and you know, he does sort of describe himself, which if people have heard me chat, I sort of describe myself sometimes. Yeah, you just sounded like a normal Irishman when I was singing. I was just like, right, yeah, there's Del. But there's no big secrecy with, you know, with hiding yourself. But I do think if you've been to people for a long, long time, then you should sort of.
That's why I thought it was strange. Like, Ab saw me one time on one of me Dell hangouts, you know? Oh, and yeah. It was like, you know, it kind of burst a bubble then, because, you know, he saw me who I am and not what he imagined. But the same goes for fucking hell. You know, well, you didn't see me like, you know, 2 years before that when I was on, you know, Free Chan or whatever, just popping in and... Or, you know, just talking to people and have the camera on. It wasn't...
You used to have two guitars all around you. You'd have speakers and things like that. And talking about... You, in fact, I'll go so far as to say you were never fucking off camera.
Well, I will say that in all the people, right... Now, I haven't seen Ab on camera. I've talked to him. And But if anyone is a good researcher there... There is like split seconds of Ab on camera. You could actually pause it and see what he looks like.
He's
never denied that, and he just has, you know, is all, you know, like more Ab stuff, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, so it's nothing to do with fakeologists. So it's not like he's hiding himself either, but he's not.
It's inconsequential. It always has been.
Yeah, well,
what I'm saying there is, if you're listening to someone 24/7 and then you get a picture of them and it doesn't correspond with what you were hearing, then that's fine, that you can handle that. But if you want to know what someone looks like, then you're actually taking it more seriously. I want to know what this guy looks like, what's going on. And I'm not talking about more than a common curiosity.
Yeah.
Talking about, no, I want to find out. That to me is wrong, because if the person wants to put it out there, they'll put it out there. Which is why what you're saying there about he's never hidden it. He's like, I've never gone looking for it, because it's not bothered me. That's what I mean, if you know what I mean.
I'll give you one, just a quick one, right? And this only fucking happened recently, right? I was talking to me friend, right, Foon, right? Right, Ab knows Phone, and I'm sure you heard him on some of the, you know, the earlier ones. But I was actually talking about, you know, like, say, the late 90s, early 90s, and I'd be listening to...
Sorry, mate, you cut out a little bit there, you went a little bit robot.
Am I back? Can you hear?
You sound cool, just a little
bit. I think it might be on your end, man, because you're breaking up.
Oh.
Internet.
I can't really do anything else. Sorry, I'll tell
you. Yeah, you broke up there now. You're silent again. Anyway.
Did you want to?
The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
Oh, the wind has gone out of me sails. I was on a fucking roll there and completely gone now. I'm sorry.
No, we were just talking about app and identifying yourself and, you know, you not having to. I said it doesn't really matter. I said if you walk into it, then, you know, if it's imperative to you knowing if someone's telling the truth or not, then that's fine. But if you chat with someone online, it only really matters what you're into it. Personal conversation. That's pretty much my angle.
Yeah, and you know something? That's good enough for now, man, because I'll try to regroup my thoughts.
Everything comes back to you, always does.
Another feckin' military expression, isn't it? Regroup. You know, Sten guns and Bren guns and Thompson guns and Messerschmitts and Spitfires. You hear all those things?
I was looking at some of Da Vinci's inventions. It was like the cannon, the crossbow. And you just start going, yeah, I don't think this was a fellow. I think this was like a group of...
Helicopter. Oh, yeah. Wow, Mr. Da Vinci.
A cannon.
Yeah. Do you know what he didn't invent? It was the one that the fuckers were probably using all the time. It was the Zeppelin. It's just lighter than air. We're back to fucking buoyancy. Can we capture this gas? We'll lift ourselves up into the sky. And these fuckers have probably been doing that. And they didn't tell us about that one. They didn't have Da Vinci inventing the fucking balloon,
no,
did
no,
he?
No, no.
Or the Zeppelin.
But this is it, man. If, now let's just say if, we can use that 100-year ahead thing. I'm not talking about now, right? Because technology has taken leaps and bounds up until now. If you go back 100 years, so say, you know, the first flight of the Wright brothers, right? Now, obviously, that come from people going, right, we can work out, we can make a plane that will fly. Yes, we can actually work out an engine, gives us some horsepower. But the amount of air travel that was accumulated in the number of years before that with balloons was a fair bit. Now, you know, let's just say that.
All of that was going along spiffily.
Exactly.
And we're talking about what the fucking media was putting out there. Oh, we've got the Wright brothers, and then, oh, we've got the fucking Zeppelin disaster.
It seems to me that everything was fucking secret until you had to put petrol in it. And once you had to put petrol in it...
Led Zeppelin, fucking one of the pop bands coming out of the fucking military, naval, industrial splash pool. We'll put a picture of the Zeppelin on the fucking album just to remind the children of the fucking, the original people we're fucking scamming.
Yeah. If you put in, remember, you know, a lot of these photos that we see of, like, you know, these ancient, not ancient structures, but buildings from, like, you know, the late 18th century, so 1750. A lot of these are taken from the air. And you look at them going, right, what? Cameras wasn't invented until 100 years later. This building fell in 1820. We've got a picture of it here, fully furnished, which means that it must have been taken 50 years before it was in fucking degradation. Cameras wasn't invented until 100 years later. It's taken from the air. Right, there's some fucking fishy going on with
that's what, a lot of these buildings. That's what they tell us, man. And then they give us... Do you remember back in the 80s, they start giving us all these freaky things like a white horse carved out of chalk, and it could only have been done from
petrol,
directing it from the air.
Petrol.
Yeah, do you know all that?
Every time petrol, I piss myself, people out, and they put it in Indiana Jones to make it real. It's stupid.
Crosses over, the whole Hollywood bullshit mixes in with history. And mixes in with sort of real life things that people, well, there's a chalk fucking horse there. How the fuck did that get there?
You know? Aliens, man. Aliens. That's what it is. No, there was air balloons years ago. That's why we've got the NASCAR lines. Pretty much explains it. Pyramids. So you can launch them off a pyramid if you want. I think the pyramids are probably fucking cement that was being tested from fucking now. You know, you don't have to keep going over it, do you?
It wasn't more a case of how they moved these giant stones or how they fucking got these giant fucking cement mixers in place.
Ooh, look at that.
You know what I mean? You see the fucking the mind joke there, and also.
Yeah, but if it's liquid, how eyes, right, so let's just say it is a flat plane, that being the Nile, flows east to west, so it probably is downhill partially towards there. So by incorporating the flat earth model, you could actually probably transport more the so-called cement mix down towards where the pyramids are. And if you look at where they are, it's probably just off tilt, so it's actually probably the perfect angle. If you could find a 0.4 angle from, I think that's what water travels at, you know, on a perfect, you know, decline. If you could find a 0.4 angle from where the closest point of the Nile is to where the pyramid is, put that at, so it's perpendicular to the flat earth model, so it's going at a 0.4 angle. There you go, that's a good starting point to mapping out fucking, you know, where the lean is, whatever. You see, this is what's daft. You just chat to each other. I'm not saying that proves anything.
Sure, but
nevertheless,
yeah, man,
there's a reason why the penguins were put where they were. There must have been.
Yeah, and they had rubber, i.e. they were able to make rubber molds of things, right?
Yep.
Hence we get the hieroglyphic, these fucking exotic Egyptians with giant fucking pots on their heads. That looks like their helmets and shit. And then we get that in movies from the 70s in America. I wonder why that is. You know, like the gorilla force on the horses.
Yeah, we've got the mummy in the 30s. Remember the mummy?
You know, there's something going on there as well, you know?
Do you not think... The hundred years of fucking movies he put on has been.
It's not a Jordan Maxwell trip, you know what I mean? He was one of the people that was putting all that stuff out, if you know what I mean.
I saw a pterodactyl, and when I went on my garden, it must have been 1981. I looked up and I saw a pterodactyl.
I also saw a T-Rex. It was about 12 inches tall, and it was
a miniature T-Rex.
A miniature. It was lurking in my kitchen. But at the same time, I think a Stegosaurus stole my website. And
isolated.
But Jeff Rentz took me back in for a couple of shows, and my $150 a plate dine with Jordan Maxwell, you know, Mr. Pinecone, didn't take off either. So I had a couple of gigs on, David Icke, or Icky, yeah, as the Americans like to call him.
Icke. It seems to be that.
There's your
mark
of an American researcher. Can they say David Icke or David Icky?
That's the disambiguation, where it's like you can take everything or leave it. Literally, that starts it off.
Just take it in. And don't make a career out of standing around going, ooh, this is bullshit. Just fucking take it in, look at it, and say, yeah, all right, I see that. We wouldn't be able to have a laugh about Jordan Maxwell if we didn't fucking know about him, if we just kicked it off and said,
some of his research is amazing. I've always said that, it's what I've said. But I think we all agree that you can't fucking eat a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down.
None of these fucking characters are Bambis for me, you know. So
no, but nevertheless, there's still a bit of sugar around whatever they're delivering you. You know what I mean? There's always a little bit of truth with it.
All right, yeah. But
remember, that's Bedknobs and Broomsticks and fucking Mary Poppins. That stuff was put in the 50s. You can see, like, we're over here, though. We've seen all this fucking magic on telly for years. How many times have we seen fucking Oliver Twist, fucking Scrooge? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Fucking,
and Ghost. Man. You know, that's another one. Dibby. Dancing on a Hot Tin Roof.
Old Fiddler on the Roof, Jesus Christ, yeah.
And it goes on and on. Seriously, we're really into fucking overtime here, but I'll have to say it as well. The spoonful of sugar and all those references to sugar and all that replaced with the aspartame. And, you know, all the bullshit that we can see when people are fucking taking in all this sugar and they're getting, like, fucked up. And fucking movies. It's all cotton candy. You know, it's all...
It seems to be that the cotton candy is explosion.
Skip lollipop. There's just, it's pushing a never-ending supply of... And don't even go into talking about fucking what the hell was those movies with the chocolate factory, Charlie and his chocolate factory.
They definitely,
yeah,
mind control movies for fucking kids. Kids, they're fucking kidnapping, abusing, they're playing them fucking movies too. And you know, there's no other way about that.
So, and
the level of trauma. With it being horrible at the beginning, and you have the uncertainty period, and then they have the fucking, you know, the vanquished piece at the end. It's the same.
And you have a chocolate bar and a toy, and maybe some sort of fucking bag of.
That's not for any other reason apart from fucking child abuse. Like this.
Kiddos and all that. Yeah.
There's no other reason behind that. They are tools that are being used. This is why when you see that film, Men Who Stare at Goats, when you go, oh no, we're subjecting the people to Barney the fucking dinosaur at the end, you know, I mean that. All they're doing now is saying, look, the films you've been watching, the ones that are kiddie like, the ones that are doing this, that you think are for kids, but they go fucking twisted and blue at the end, or, you know, they turn into some sort of nightmare. You know, you don't mean the way the films change. These are for kids. This is what fucking they get played to when they're being fucking abused. It's fucking disgusting. And I'm not even joking now, that is definitely where it is. And it's fucking why the fuck spending that much money on making films for kids? You know, I mean, kids will watch anything. They don't give a fuck, man. There's something fucking twisted behind all that. I'm sorry, I have to speak my mind, you know what I mean? This is what's daft about it. It's fucking weird.
That's the thing. Is see, their parents have given up fucking their responsibility.
Yeah.
Lose their children onto the internet or onto, say, even if they're not even on the internet, just allowing them to take in, you know, all the bullshit that's out there without actually showing them some pointers.
Well, this is another thing. This is what annoys me. You've got people coming on and going, oh, the fucking flat earth, the flat earth, flat earth, you know. Oh, how do you believe in that? So, no, we can see fucking further than we want. Right, let's move on. Fucking sort out what's going on in the real world. It's like, no, we all know fucking Disney's bollocks. We all know fucking politics is bollocks. Do you know what I mean? There's more than enough fucking stuff to aim your shitty attention. I'll be dead honest with you. If you say you're intelligent and you're coming out going, oh, the earth's a ball, and it's like, well, yeah, there's bigger things to go out there, mate. You know what I mean? I'm not going to take you seriously. So I'm not turning my attention to any of that because you fucking disgust me. And I know why I'm paying attention to it, but if you want to fucking make a name for yourself, point out the stuff that really means to me. Yeah. You understand exactly what people are paying a lot of vitriol to stuff that doesn't need attention.
I'm, like, not trying to make a name for myself like yourself, you know? Yeah,
I'm just happy being there. This is brilliant being on PayPal this week.
It's so fucking damned obvious in all these little and rabbit holes as they are. Man, you know, even we haven't even gone into the flat earth like you were saying there, you know, just. You know.
We're going to keep it light, though, won't we? Still keep it light.
There's so much stuff, man. And I can't believe this is like some sort of a really long extended fucking chat. Which is going out on Fakeologist, you know, will be an audio chat. And everybody else, you know, come to Discord and just don't hang along the side.
Yeah, it'd be nice to say hello to someone if someone's out there.
Just pop in sometime.
Well, it's nearly light now.
A live stream, like
six
myself.
Hours, 6 hours of dark.
Yeah.
6 hours, that's all.
Denny, you know, we've been chatting away here all night, into the early morning. And the thing is that people can, they don't have to, you know, if they're intimidated by the live stream, you can just go into room 11 or room 33 and just say hello to people. And, you know, you often see people just hanging there, you know, to come in, and they're, and then if someone else is available to talk, they'll go in. And
well, this is what's good about that, because like he, when there's no one about, he comes in, make sure, you know, so he pays the airtime that he thinks it needs. But when, like, because me and you're in it, he seems like people are sort of, you know, standing back, and it's like, no, the more noise, the merrier. It really is that simple. I mean, we're not asking anyone to meet up. We're not flat earth to say, we'll meet up. We're just saying, well, let's go and have a look at something else.
Yeah. And you know something, I'm going to do a little bit of shilling here for Rab.
That's cool.
Oh, go back. Anyone who's just listening to this or is just, you know, go back and look at all, you know, the recorded interviews that Rab has done over the years. It's fucking, it is a treasure trove. You know, you'll find things there. You know, that just fucking amazing. And you see, I don't want that, all of that stuff to get lost into the past, and no one remembers that. They're just remembering the latest fucking bullshit on some hangout on YouTube.
That's exactly where I'm coming from.
Yeah, so well, that's where I... Maria's weddings, you know, you know, trying to get everybody's attention, you know.
Oh, I'm so.
I'm just trying to find. I found it, man.
Okay, well, I shall bid you a good night, sir. And once again, it's been
long. I will as well. And as soon as I start playing this, I'm just going to go to myself. And I'd like to thank Ab, and he's going to have some sort of chat from a pair of us, so why not? Isn't that it, man? A special guest. Who's the special guest, man?
Jerry Kenma.
No, the dude who fucking pretends to be, he writes books about black holes, and he's paralyzed, and he has a BBC computer.
Oh yes, you're certainly. Sorry about that. The right honourable, Stephen Hawking.
There you go, Stephen Hawking. He's hawking everybody.
Stephen Hawking. He's a hawker. Yes.
Hawker. He did a perp walk, and then he became Lord Stephen Christ. Only joking. That's a different character.
The longest fellow to survive with ALS, so it should be in the Guinness Book of Records, but he's not.
Yeah. Actually, this is his performance here now in the Pink Floyd song.
I had no idea he was a DJ.
I'm going to go to the Jacks now.
I shall sit back and relax.
Yeah. There's Stephen Hawking there now.
Well?
Yeah, man, I'm back. We'll knock this off.
We couldn't hear that, you know.
You couldn't hear it?
No, man. For some reason, we couldn't hear anything. Every now and again, you get a little snippet. But if you have the art, I thought you were doing. Sorry.
Very strange. No, I went off to the Jacks and left it running.
Anyway, don't worry about it, my mate. It's been nice anyway. We've put the world to rights. We've done a little bit. I'd say if anyone listens back to it, they can get a nugget of it. We'll get a treat out of it.
They're not about music, you know, really, but, you know, I know sometimes, you know, it's okay to play a tune. But,
well, that was one of the reasons why I said Mercy Me. Yes, it's a lovely song. When you listen to it, you know, it's just like, it's fair part.
There you go.
But nevertheless, it's a lovely song. Radiation Underground in the Sky, and Muslims are living it by that, you know. Blue skies have gone. Yeah, I mean, the lot there.
Radiation's always about when, you know, you're lucky enough to get a bit of sun on your face and you can feel it. And also in the the darkest parts of winter and you've got a fire lit and you can feel the same fucking heat on your face. And that, to me, is my scientific analysis of the heat. So
you're not far enough. I was.
I'm doing my best.
Are you ready? No, you ready for this? I was 400 yards away from a petrol station. I blew up, and I felt the heat on my face. Literally, even when people talk about radiation, I just think, no, there's a heat blast. It's a radiation, but it's not a heat blast. I literally felt the heat on my face from, probably, what was it, a fifth of a mile away.
Yeah, it's a bit of heat fucking coming towards you and passing through you.
I mean, this was doing the foot in the air. Didn't feel the heat until the black cloud went red. You know what I mean? So the cloud was 200 foot in the air before it went red. It's amazing. And then boom, you feel it. And you go, oh, right, there you go. But you never experience these things. Like when I see some explosions.
Well, honestly, Denny, sorry, man. But if anyone out there, we would be old enough to remember standing around a bonfire, you'd feel the heat. If you have ever fucking...
You tried to get as close as you could, didn't you?
You stand, yeah, there you go. You know, if anyone hasn't experienced that, they've only virtually experienced it by looking at a YouTube video or something or whatever. I don't know, but I think most people, real people... And, would have had experiences like that,
Yeah.
Like first-hand experience of heat, burning yourself or whatever,
that's easy when you're in the army and they come back and they say, oh, no, that's radiation burns, They say, oh, no, that's that. They confuse you and say, this is that. You go, okay.
Something you go away and all that. Could be like a fire, man. You could be taking something out of the oven and accidentally put your arm on the oven. You only do that once. Or maybe that's absentmindedly twice, but you're not going to do it all the time.
Well, it is the most obvious thing, and no one ever realizes it. Right? You go on holiday, get to the place you're going. You cover yourself in suntan lotion, and you have a bad stomach on the first night. Blame it on the food. No, you've just taken an oil through your skin. You know what I mean? And people go, all right. And you go, yeah, climatize yourself. And you go, what do you mean? So we'll put fucking suntan lotion on the night before you go away and see if you have a bad stomach. You know what? Nine times out of ten, they did.
I mean, you make sure that the suntan lotion you're putting on is not full of those weird...
all the weird stuff. No, what I'm saying there is it does affect... People don't realize everything affects you. You're a fucking living bioorganism, you know what I mean? Jesus Christ, we were talking here the other day with Frank and a few people about water. And was going, oh, the mysterious qualities of water. He said, yeah, it slows down water. I mean, there's a million and one things that water is, and people just call it H2O. We're living in fucking idiocracy. We're living in fucking idiocracy.
Something crazy. I don't agree with Frank on everything, right? None of us agree with each other on everything anyway, but I hold to his salt regime, so for want of a better word. I found that very beneficial over the past 2.5 years now at this stage. I'm still here.
Salt, like I said, helps to rehydrate you, and you're better with salt. It's like a diuretic.
Yeah, and well, if you think about it, That's what they try to tell us anyway, It's like the opposite. Salt is bad for you, How many years have we had that?
Low in salt.
I'm looking for shit.
It's almost like the words fit low in salt. You know what I mean? It's almost like it's a palindrome.
Yeah. You're better off looking for the stuff that doesn't have to be put into a plastic container with a fucking a thesis put on the side of it,
It's funny though, they pack food and it's toxic. But they pack food and it's toxic, and then all of a sudden, as it's leaving the factory, it's fine for everyone to open. And yet, when you're in there, it's like, no, common exposure to, whatever they're working with can cause problems. It's like, right, so just as long as it, person buying this doesn't eat every day, it'll be okay. Yeah. I mean, there's weird fucking rules, man.
They're giving us possible poisons, but it's, you know, we just put it out there and it mixes in with everything else. Then it's a long term, you know, it's an issue that the medical industry will come up with an answer for in 40 years' time. And I think we're looking at the snapshot of that at the moment, you know. It's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, when people talk about the futuristic films that predict the way life's going, no one's made one yet of pretty much how the medical industry's going to go. And what I mean there is that you've got a Minority Report. It's all about, you know, future crime. But Minority Report, I swear to God, you could make the same thing out of doctors, you know what I mean? Working out what people are going to have. Oh, no, you're high sodium, blah, blah, blah. The reason they're not doing that is because that stuff is kept secret. All the narratives for them stories, look, they don't need to sell them because they can sell them in the real market for things. But what they do is they're selling the other stuff. If there comes a time where people go, no, we're not interested in that, what they will do is they'll narrow it down, which is what we got in the 60s and the 70s, to ensemble pieces where it's like 12 Angry Men or, you know. But at this moment in time, we're just getting hit with the bombardment of basically fucking candy. But it will come down to the point where, and I'm not joking, in 20 years' time, they'll be talking about films. They'll make films about autism. And then all of a sudden, autism will be eradicated.
I think that we're going back to what I was saying earlier on. Like, you know, like today, I'm seeing children coming out of school still with Titanic models. And now, you know, 30 years from now, they'll be coming out with little fucking models of...
I hope
that doesn't happen, but you know what I mean? That's like the sort of, you know, the agenda that we're seeing, you know?
Yeah, but it's recycling. And they admit it's recycling. Everything on will recycle. Even recycle speeches for politicians. Recycle film scripts.
Or the sunbed, so to speak, as they say. But man, listen, I'm going to have to head off and it's too late.
You take care, and, man. Love you.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Dear man, I'll talk to you again then, man.
We'll see you tomorrow, man.
Right? Yeah. And thanks, Ab, for the forum. You know, it's nice to come in and just have a chat. And I'd encourage more people, you know, that are around on the Discord there. You know, yous are there. Come in and have a chat sometime and just support Ab by just talking on the live stream.
He
likes an audio output.
Yeah, you're not supporting him with a thumbs up on YouTube. You're not supporting him with, you know, anything else apart from coming in and sharing your voice. So,
just come in and make an audio deposit, so to speak. And it'd be great. So it'd be something for us to listen to, Denny. We won't have to be chatting here. You know, we could be listening and talking about what we heard.
Yeah, it's getting murdered, you know, at the moment. I keep looking at Fakeologists and I keep seeing your name on them. You know, I can't listen to me on board, so I've got nothing to listen to at the moment.
Yeah. You fucking know it's bullshit, you know?
We'll get through it.
But anyway, I'm going to feck off now and take care, Denny, and who's listening.
Take care, my mate. I'm going to mute, but there's you in chat, so I'm just going to mute for a minute. I'll end it to the little boys' room. I'm not a little boy, so I'm going to say a gentleman's room. Phil, I'll speak to you soon, my mate.
Good man. Good night.
See you, pal.
Hello, this is SMJ. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.